should return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance. Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Mark Knoller, live at the White House. A day after his party suffered a body blow in the midterm elections, President Bush announced that Donald Rumsfeld would be stepping down as defense secretary.
Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
And that new perspective belongs to former CIA Director Robert Gates, who, if confirmed by the Senate, will take over at the Pentagon. But Mr. Bush urged those on the front lines in Iraq not to misread the change.
To our enemies, do not be joyful. Do not confuse the workings of our democracies with a lack of will.
At a news conference, the president said he'd work with Democrats but wouldn't pull out of Iraq before the U.S. mission is accomplished. And he admitted his surprise at the thumping the GOP took at the polls.
Actually, I thought we were going to do fine yesterday. Shows what I know.
Live at the White House, I'm Mark Knoller. With more CBS News, here's Harley Carnes.
What's the reaction among the troops and their commanders to the ouster of Donald Rumsfeld? CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland says hopefully Robert Gates will have an open ear.
There was a lot of people who criticized the secretary for his somewhat unwillingness even to listen to those who had ideas that were somewhat contrary to assumptions he had at hand.
For anti-war activists like Nancy Lesson, that military families speak out, it isn't about Rumsfeld.
Whether there's somebody in Rumsfeld's seat named Gates or anybody else, the issue is the war itself, and the war needs to end.
Sectarian violence in Iraq today killed more than 60 people. Sunnis firing mortars hit a soccer field full of kids in the Sadr City slums. Comedian Bill Cosby settled a lawsuit from a woman who claims he sexually assaulted her.
Details of the settlement are being kept confidential, but a statement from the attorney says the two sides have resolved their differences. The woman accused Cosby of drugging her, then sexually assaulting her inside his suburban Philadelphia mansion in 2004. Philadelphia attorney George Beatty, who is not connected to the case, says going to trial would have been risky.
The plaintiff may get nothing at all, and personal details about her life could be aired for all the world to see.
The woman went to police about a year after the encounter, but Montgomery County prosecutors declined to file criminal charges. Brad Siegel for CBS News, Philadelphia.
Another health study supports the Atkins diet. Low-carb, high-fat diets, even when eaten for years, do not raise the risk of heart disease. This study followed thousands of women over two decades. It's the kind of carbs and fats that seem to matter. Women who got their carbs from refined sugars and processed foods nearly doubled their risk of heart disease. Women on Atkins-style diets saw their heart disease risks go down about 30%. On Wall Street, the Dow gained nearly 20 points to close at 12,176, the NASDAQ up about 9. This is CBS News.
You, playing Texas Hold'em with Mozart, fairies, kings, queens, albino aardvarks, karaoke singing koalas, the Sun City kickball team, wearing flippers, Sasquatch and Nessie holding hands at sunset in the Grand Canyon. Dreams, they can be strange and magical, but if you can't sleep, you can't dream. So ask your doctor about Rosarum, a sleep aid like no other, approved for adults having trouble falling asleep. Rosarum is the first and only prescription sleep aid that in clinical studies shows no potential for abuse or dependence, so you can get to sleep, and maybe your dreams will get to see you again.
Don't take Rosarum if you're taking Luvox, Fluvoxamine, or have severe liver problems. Avoid taking it with alcohol. Don't drive or operate machinery until you know how you'll react to Rosarum. Rosarum may affect certain hormones. Consult your doctor about how this may affect you, or if you're insomnia doesn't improve. Take Rosarum right before bed. Side effects may include drowsiness, fatigue, and dizziness. Individual results may vary. Ask your doctor today if Rosarum is right for you. For more information, call 1-877-ROSARUM-1. See our ad in Prevention Magazine or visit Rosarum.com.
Swimming babies, dancing babies, singing babies.
Coming soon to a bookstore near you, The Pope's Calendar. Just don't be expecting beefcake.
Benedict is soon to become the first pope to publish a photo calendar featuring shots of himself posing for each month of the year. The 79-year-old leader of the Catholic Church was snapped in 14 different poses for a calendar which will be distributed with one of Italy's best-selling Catholic weeklies. Proceeds from the photos of the Pope will go to a mission in Rwanda. Sabina Castelfranco, CBS News, Rome.
For people who have macular degeneration or are concerned about it, listen up. Scientists have shown it is possible to transplant photoreceptors. Now that is huge stuff. Scientists gave blind mice their sight back by transplanting light-sensitive cells into their degenerated retinas. Scientists say humans could be getting retinal cell transplants within a decade. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
And now another yellow tale.
Recently, while planning an engagement bash for my best friend, I asked my husband Frank to get enough yellowtail for 30. Wouldn't you know it, he ordered yellowtail sushi. Sushi! Fortunately, there was still time to get yellowtail wine, so I didn't have to toast my best friend with raw fish.
Yellowtail fact number 12. Yellowtail wine is named for the yellow-footed rock wallaby, a small kangaroo, not sushi. Imported by W.J. Deutsch & Sons, White Plains, New York. Please drink responsibly.
I'll admit it. I'm as selfish as they come. Because when it comes to my small business, no one else is looking out for me. That's why I partnered with Dell. Dell gave me the technology I need to help me make my customers happy. We not only built the perfect solution for today, but helped map out a plan for succeeding tomorrow. After all, business is a game of survival of the fittest, and I plan on winning.
At Dell, we design small business solutions with one company in mind. Yours. Dell. Purely you. Learn more at DellRadio.com today.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Collins is operating on low sleep and a little adrenaline.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. I just want to celebrate another day of life. Put my faith in the people.
Yeah, I put my faith in the people. And the people didn't let me down entirely. A lot of great candidates won election yesterday, and most importantly, the Democrats take control of the House. San Francisco values in the form of one Nancy Pelosi will be reflected as she takes the reins as Speaker of the House in January.
And the dollar bill blew away.
And not every progressive candidate made it, but a lot of really dangerous neocons will be retiring from office. And I have to admit, surprise today when the president held his conciliatory news conference and led with the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of Defense. Hallelujah! I mean, it only took virtually every member of the Senate, retired generals from here to there, and finally the Army Times and other military publications sounded off just before the election. And a little bit later this half hour, we'll play a clip from the presidential news conference as he danced around his clear lie that was delivered just last week that, hey, Don Rumsfeld's got my confidence and he'll be here till the end of my term. Well, in our post-election broadcast today, we got back-to-back Goodmans in our first hour. Bill Goodman will join us in a moment. He's the legal director at the Center for Constitutional Rights. Mel Goodman served at the Central Intelligence Agency under Robert Gates, the man that Bush intends to nominate to replace Rumsfeld. And he's going to have to jam it through the lame duck session because I don't think the new Senate would sit still for Robert Gates as the new Secretary of Defense. Also on today's program, our weekly visit with Jason Leopold, the investigative reporter from truthout.org. And Warren Stewart will join us to talk about a potential recount of that very tight Senate race with Jim Webb ahead in Virginia. Warren Stewart from Vote Trust USA. That's all ahead, plus lots of room for your phone calls. So if you want to join in, don't hold back. You can offer your comments about the outcome of the election, some of the near misses, some of the problems with the machines and other election processes, that posse of armed right-wingers greeting voters in Arizona. Not very welcome. So there's lots to talk about today, and I want to talk with you about it. 888-5, Peter B. is our toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also email me anytime, peter@peterbcollins.com. And for our listeners in Phoenix on the mighty 1480 KPHX, any volunteers to conduct a suicide watch for John McCain? Remember, just a few weeks ago, he said if the Democrats won control,
he would consider suicide. Well, let's protect him from himself at all costs. Joining us is Bill Goodman, Center for Constitutional Rights in New York. He is their legal director. Bill, welcome to our program today.
Oh, thanks, Peter. How are you doing there?
I'm doing much better, I have to say. I have a sense of hope. There's a lot of work ahead, but clearly America is ready for a change. Were you surprised by the president's announcement of the Rumsfeld resignation this morning?
Well, actually, I was. I made the mistake of believing him when he said he was committed to this guy until the end of his term. So I was surprised whether I what difference it will make and whether it's mere window dressing. We shall wait and see.
Yeah. Well, I likewise was surprised, and I want to thank my pal Scott Dick. He contributes to our program. He's a retired Army major, and he covers military and veterans affairs for us. And I slept in this morning, and I actually was in the shower when he called and left a message that Rumsfeld had resigned. And it really just added a little sparkle to my day, Bill. And then we got your email. Tell us what you have planned to acknowledge Donald Rumsfeld's selfless service to this nation, 6 years as Secretary of Defense.
Well, I assume you're talking about the German criminal prosecution.
I'm talking about, yes, the idea of indicting him for war crimes.
Right. We plan on filing an application with the German prosecutor's office for a criminal prosecution against Mr. Rumsfeld under the four war crimes, crimes against humanity, and genocide. The document has been drafted, but we're still in the process of drafting it. And it will be filed next week, and we'll see if the German prosecutor will do anything. In Germany, they have a law that incorporates what's called universal criminal jurisdiction, so that if a crime is committed anywhere in the world and there is an unwillingness to prosecute for that crime in the primary site of the crime, which in this case would be the United States, other nations, in this case Germany, can undertake criminal prosecutions. We did this about 2 years ago, and the charges were dismissed by a German federal prosecutor who is no longer there, and we have every reason to believe that these charges will be looked at much more sympathetically when they're filed this time around.
Would the Merkel government, which is much more conservative than the previous regimes in Germany, will the Merkel government permit this, or do they have no real say-so over a prosecutor?
It is the Merkel government, I can't really talk, with any real knowledge or intelligently about German politics.
The new federal prosecutor,
however,
yeah,
in Germany, I think, is much more open to the idea of universal criminal jurisdiction, and therefore, I think, will be much more open to this particular document in which we are indicting not only Rumsfeld, by the way, but a whole series of U.S. officials for war crimes, specifically torture and other things.
Now, does this then infer that you can find no basis for an indictment here in this country, or you can't find a venue that would entertain it?
I mean, there's several problems with an indictment in this country. First of all, I think it would be virtually impossible to find a federal prosecutor, and this couldn't be a state prosecution, I don't think, but a federal prosecutor who would bring such a case, because obviously there are huge political implications to it. And as we've seen with these tortures that have happened at Abu Ghraib and outrageous conduct against prisoners and detainees that have happened at Abu Ghraib and elsewhere in Afghanistan as well, no high-level U.S. officials have been charged with anything, any kind of military crimes, brought before military tribunals or any other tribunal for this kind of activity, even though it's obvious this was not something that was designed by Lindy England. You know, these are things that were imported at the highest levels into our military operations.
Now, it wasn't just Lindy England, it was Charlie Grainer, a real high-ranking official.
I mean, obviously, the grunts have taken all of the abuse and responsibility, and the people who are really responsible for implementing it and doing all sorts of things like purposely failing to train people to know what they should not do, and encouraging this kind of activity. These people have gotten off scot-free. That's one problem. But in addition, the new military commissions act.
I'm sorry, we call that the Joe Stalin torture detention and kangaroo court act on this program.
Yes, it really does seem like something out of Darkness at Noon or one of those kinds of out of Stalinist Russia. This statute basically immunizes U.S. officials now for engaging in war crimes.
It's amnesty.
Right, in the United States, but internationally, it strengthens our case to bring this, or strengthens our claim to be able to bring this case in Germany and so on,
mm-hmm.
because of the futility of attempting to bring it in the United States.
Yeah. We're going to go to a break in a second, then I want to talk more about this with you. Bill Scott's on the line from Arizona. Hello, Scott. You got a quick comment for us?
A couple of weeks ago, Senator McCain said that he was going to commit suicide if the Democrats took over the House or the Senate.
Right.
I was just wondering if anyone was going to, hold him to his word.
Well, that's why I asked for a suicide watch. I'm a compassionate progressive, and I would never encourage the senator or anyone else to carry out such a threat. But I do think as a compassionate progressive, we should get a group of people together and put a suicide watch into effect so that he doesn't harm himself.
Oh, sure. I mean, I'm just joking, too. I mean, as a progressive, I like and can withstand and deal with Senator McCain. He's a pretty decent senator. But
I'm not going that far. My compassion does have limits. Thank you, Scott. We're going to take a break and return with Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights. We'll talk more about the Rumsfeld resignation. That's right. Donald Rumsfeld has decided to cut and run. More coming up in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
12-Step Talk Uncensored is a new talk show where we speak openly about the deadly, shame-based disease of alcoholism and addiction. In this country, most of us are affected in some way. Causes, cures, genetics, or willpower. Saturday, 4 to 5, with Sheila Gale, brought to you in part by Italica Fine Leather Purses and Accessories on Alvarado Street, next to Supercuts in Monterey. Italica. Listen Saturdays at 4 with Sheila Gale. 12-Step Talk Uncensored. It's about time.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service now has three locations to serve you better wherever you live. All three locations feature full service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or, in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
Specializing in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for friendly, fast, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service. Now located in Santa Cruz at 1807 Soquel Avenue across from Walgreens, in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road and Soquel Drive, and now in Aptos Village across the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Call 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service, full service.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
The Peter B. Collins Show.
We got a president so bad, gotta be the worst we ever had. Got the job 'cause of his dad, now we're all in danger. He come around up to no good, broke the old treaties 'cause he could. Struts all around like a hood, got us in a world of trouble. Put him in a straitjacket, there's no doubt.
Mr. President, thank you. Can I just start by asking you to clarify, sir, if in your meeting with Steve and Terry and Dick, did you know at that point
I did not.
You would be making a change on Secretary Rumsfeld?
No, I did not. And the reason I didn't know is because I hadn't visited with his replacement, a potential replacement.
But you knew he would be leading, just not who would replace
no,
him.
No, I didn't know that at the time.
Okay. May I ask you about Nancy Pelosi?
The other thing I did know as well is that kind of question, a wise question by a seasoned reporter, is the kind of thing that causes one to either inject major military decisions at the end of a campaign or not. And I had made the decision that I wasn't going to be talking about, you know, hypothetical troop levels or changes in command structure coming down the stretch. And I'll tell you why I made that decision. I made that decision because I think it sends a bad signal to our troops that they think the commander-in-chief is constantly adjusting tactics and decisions based upon politics. And I think it's important in a time of war that to the extent possible we leave politics out of the major decisions being made. And it was the right decision to make, by the way. And secondly, I hadn't had visited with Bob Gates. I told you I visited with him last Sunday in Crawford. You can't replace somebody until you know you got somebody to replace him with.
Yeah.
And finally, I hadn't had my last conversation with Secretary Rumsfeld, which I had yesterday.
Mr. President, I'd like to add...
So there is a world-class rationalization, the kind of thing you'd expect from Reverend Ted Haggard. but that is remarkable to hear the president telling us, yes, I lied. I did not tell you the truth, and here is my rationale for it. And Bill Goodman from the Center for Constitutional Rights, this isn't quite a count for a war crime or impeachment, but isn't it just the latest lie from this president?
Yeah, I mean, anybody who believes anything this president says, I think, is someone who I should probably try and sell my bridge here in Brooklyn too. It's really hard to give any credibility to statements that he makes, other than the statement that now that I'm in this mess, I'm going to stay in it and keep everyone off us in it and keep throwing your money away. That one seems to be true and honest.
Yeah. Now, I want to turn to the efforts at the Center for Constitutional Rights to challenge the Military Commissions Act and its evisceration of habeas corpus rights for certain detainees, including those whom you represent at Guantanamo Bay and other U.S. detention sites, some known, some unknown, some known unknowns, and some unknown unknowns. Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld. but I wanted to ask what the status is, because, as you pointed out, the Military Commissions Act not only gave amnesty retroactively to officials for deeds of torture and other violations of international human rights standards and the Geneva Conventions, but it also essentially proscribed any legal actions like habeas corpus on behalf of these prisoners. Going back, they picked a date, 1998 or 97. Is that right, Bill?
Yeah. It's 1997, I believe.
Yeah. And so that would mean that all of the challenges the legal challenges that have arisen from detainees at Guantanamo Bay theoretically could be thrown out. But you have cases pending in the courts to try to declare the Military Commissions Act, or at least these portions of it, unconstitutional, right?
Well, we have tried to assert the rights of people who have been held indefinitely and without charges. Now, you know, I think that the government has done a great job of basically allowing people to think of these detainees at Guantanamo as something other than us. So therefore they don't have rights. But if any of us were to try to put our shoes, to get into the shoes of some of these guys, we would get a sense of the hell that they've been through for the last 5 years. Many of them were picked up for doing absolutely nothing, and they're in Guantanamo, and they have no way to get out. And this law says, forget about going to federal court, forget about filing for a writ of habeas corpus, a right that has existed for 791 years, forget about any of this. You're here as long as we want to keep you here, and it could be for the rest of your life, and we're never going to tell you what you're charged with. We're never going to show you any evidence against you. So just sit back and relax and enjoy it. And that's a really terrible thing for this country to commit itself to as a part of our system of justice. This is really a system of injustice, and it is enshrined in this Military Commissions Act that says you have no recourse. You can do nothing to really protect yourself.
So among others, the two key issues here are challenging the new Military Commissions Act for restricting or eliminating habeas corpus, and the other would be the retroactivity, which would essentially toss out the cases that have been filed in the past.
Right. What we have, almost all of our clients have cases that were pending before the president signed this statute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we have said, and now they filed motions in many of these cases to dismiss them because the Military Commissions Act purports to be retroactive, or at least the government says it's retroactive. And in addition, it does suspend or eliminate the writ of habeas corpus. So they're saying it's retroactive. It applies to all cases that were pending when the law went into effect, first of all. Secondly, you don't have a right of habeas corpus. Get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
So what we are doing, our challenge constitutes opposing those motions. We're saying those motions are based upon provisions of a statute which are unconstitutional.
I get it.
Grossly unconstitutional. Violate the Constitution of the United States.
Are you encouraged? Senator Leahy on public radio earlier today, he would chair the Judiciary Committee in a Democratic-controlled Senate, and he said if that occurs, he will push to revisit habeas corpus and the Military Commissions Act.
Well, bless Senator Leahy, if I may say so without becoming a religious fundamentalist. I think it would be a real act of grace for Congress to revisit this and try to repeal those provisions of the statute. And I would only hope, against all hope, that this president would not veto such a repeal.
Bill Goodman, thank you for your work. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Peter B. Good to talk to you.
Center for Constitutional Rights on the web at ccr-ny.org. A quick comment from Hot Dog George in Phoenix. Hi, George.
Yes, I just wanted to talk a little bit about McCain. He's like, him and the president are playing games. He's like a good cop. First, he doesn't want torture.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't talk about, you know, what George Bush is doing. So to me, he's a hypocrite. Thank him for his service. I was with the 4th Infantry Division mm-hmm. in the 60s.
Yeah.
All my brothers were in the military as well.
And George, are you willing to form a suicide watch for the senator?
Actually, you know, I'm a Christian, but I only like to be slapped about 2 or 3 times, and then I punch back. So I don't care what he does, you know.
Thank you, George. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn?
Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Tired of that dreaded drive into town for fresh quality produce? The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village has the perfect solution to your problem. Owners Ed Drobnik and Don Bikey have over 50 years of combined experience in the produce business and are passing the substantial savings on to their customers. The Produce Barn offers a wide selection of conventional and certified organic seasonal fresh fruits and vegetables. We also carry a fine selection of specialty candies and snacks, exquisite gourmet gift items, and feature Freedom Meats, savory sausages, bacon, and marinated fresh meats. Heck, we even throw in free recipes. So, whether you're a restaurant, lodge, home chef, or treasured village visitor, stop by the Produce Barn at 13750A Center Street in the Center Street Plaza, behind Wells Fargo, and right next to the Chatterbox. We're open 7 days a week.
The Produce Barn in Carmel Valley Village, 659-5916. That's 659-5916. The Produce Barn.
Childhood Matters, the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
Studies show that when young children can manage their emotions, control their impulses, and resolve conflicts peacefully, they're more successful at school. I'm Nurse Rona. Join me on Sunday to learn more about the social and emotional development of young children.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540.
Pam and Nancy from the Potting Shed in Aptos on the Christmas season.
We have the tree, we have refreshments. It's turned out to be a really big season for us.
Someone was in the other day who was telling their companion who had been there for the first time that, oh, and they also do Christmas, and you should see it with all the lights. It's mm-hmm. just beautiful. So.
It's one of the prettiest times of the year.
Yeah, Christmas is fun. I mean, we start the kickoff with for the season, the first weekend in November, with an open house, and we have homemade refreshments. In December, we have a live green wreath workshop where people can come and make their own green wreaths.
Call us at 685-1626, and we keep lists of anyone who's interested in the classes and schedule them accordingly. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard in Aptos.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn. If you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find. The Potting Shed.
Gifts for gardeners and everyone. We're hard to find, but it's worth it.
Tom Hartman.
Plus, there was that curious development in January when the Army Corps of Engineers awarded Halliburton subsidiary Kellogg Brown and Root a $385 million contract to construct detention centers somewhere in the United States to support the rapid deployment of new programs.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
You'll remember, you know, right after 9/11, the Bush administration rounded up over 1,000 people inside the United States. Many of them disappeared. We still have no idea where they are.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
The Collins Show continues. Okay, why can't you hear this?
Starting another war.
All right, hold on. We got to start that again.
Here we go. Starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections, run the country into the ground. We're just trying to be greedy.
Well, the morning after, the night before, I have to say I was pleasantly surprised to hear the presidential news conference leading off with the announced resignation of Donald Rumsfeld as Secretary of War. I think that's what we should call the Defense Department, especially these days. And the intended nomination of Robert Gates, a former Central Intelligence Agency director, who now serves at the as the head of Texas A&M University. And before he took the top job there, he was running the George H.W. Bush Center for International Mayhem, or whatever that's called. And it's going to be a very interesting confirmation process during the lame duck session, because the Republicans have calculated that they cannot risk facing the newly constituted Senate, which is likely to be controlled by the Democrats, but that's not yet certain. In any event, it appears that they're going to try to jam Gates through before Christmas. To comment on this, we turn to Melvin A. Goodman, senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. He's an adjunct professor of government at Johns Hopkins University. He was senior Soviet analyst at the CIA from 1966 to 1986, an intelligence advisor to the SALT delegation in 71 and 72. He co-authored with Craig Eisendrath, Bush League Diplomacy, How the Neocons Are Putting the Nation at Risk, that came out in 2004. Mel Goodman, welcome back to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you again. And as Yogi Berra said, this is deja vu all over again with Bob Gates.
It is. And, you know, once again, we see the president reaching to a very limited bench. And like Condi Rice, Bob Gates' credentials are mostly about the Cold War and the Soviet Union.
The Cold War, the Soviet Union, and the Bush family.
And Iran-Contra, yeah.
The father, who named Gates to be the director of the CIA in 1991, he had been nominated in 1987, but wasn't acceptable to the Senate Intelligence Committee because he had lied about Iran-Contra. Therefore, Gates withdrew his name. And in 1991, Gates was accused of politicizing intelligence. I helped to provide some of that testimony, I must say. Mm-hmm. And over 30 senators voted against Gates for CIA director, which is more than all the CIA directors combined in the 60-year history of the CIA. So this is a nominee with a great deal of baggage. And I think you put it well when you talked about that limited bench. They wanted someone who was loyal, someone who was disciplined, someone who was obedient, someone who would take care of the Bush legacy. But to send him over to the Pentagon, this micromanager, because I worked for Gates at CIA and he was a micromanager, he could be chewed up in that Pentagon bureaucracy in a short period of time.
Well, Rummy's a pretty micromanager.
A micromanager with a great deal of arrogant armor who could stand up to a lot of challenge, mm-hmm. and even some dispute and got away with it. I think it's going to be a lot tougher for Gates, who just has never had that experience in the military realm, in the industrial realm, let alone the entire military-industrial complex. I do think it's going to be harder for Bob. I think he'll get an initial welcome because he isn't Donald Rumsfeld. And
yeah.
The military had nothing but contempt for Rumsfeld because he put their lives at risk. He did the worst thing any Secretary of Defense could do, go to war with an inadequate number of troops, an inadequate plan, an inadequate strategy, and inadequate material, and then say, well, sometimes you have to go to war with what you have and not what you would like to have. That was incredible arrogance and hubris, and he's finally paid for it. This is long overdue. I just don't think Bob Gates is the answer.
Back to the micromanagement issue, you've probably heard this description. It came from military members serving in Iraq. They describe him as the guy with the screwdriver that has a 10,000-mile handle on it. And he tweaks the carburetor from the Pentagon.
Oh, yes. And those are probably the only tools he has in his toolbox anyway, these tweaking tools.
Well, let's focus on the replacement here for a moment. What is your sense of the current Senate and the Intelligence Committee that will review his nomination?
No, it'll be the Armed Forces Committee.
Oh, it'll be
actually.
Armed Forces. Okay, so who do we have chairing there?
I'm assuming that Jim Webb is going to be the 51st Democratic Senator. I would like Alan to respond to the party leadership, which I think is advising him not to go for a recount, to do something for America. At this point, we don't need another controversial recount. It's not going to go his way anyway. I think Webb has won this election. But let's say there is a recount. This will put off, I think, the confirmation process, which I think Bush would like to have done by the first of the year. And it would be Carl Levin, who would be head of the Senate Armed Forces Committee, and he is less of a rubber stamp for the Pentagon than, say, John Warner has been over the years as the Republican chairman of the committee. I think Gates will get through the process. It's not that he will be defeated, but I think he will get marked up to a certain extent, because I think people, if they don't remember, I hope they read my op-ed that'll be in the Baltimore Sun on Friday, which is designed to remind them about the fact he lied about Iran-Contra in the 80s, and he was politicizing intelligence for Bill Casey in the 1980s, and therefore served a very short tenure as a steward of the CIA and did not have a good record in that position. And he is a Bush loyalist, and he's very narrow. If they're looking for new thinking and a new innovative way to look at the problem of Iraq and to change the stay-the-course policy of the Bush administration, I just don't think Bob Gates is that man.
Mel, he's serving on the Hamilton-Baker Commission right now.
Oh, we'll talk about a political instrument. There's nothing more political than the Baker-Hamilton Committee. There are 10 people. The last time I looked, they did not have one person who was an expert on Middle Eastern affairs, on Arab affairs, let alone on Iraq itself. This was a political group that was designed to buy Bush a little time. Mm-hmm. And maybe they might make some diplomatic tweaking by talking to the Syrians and talking to the Iranians and appear to internationalize this conflict. But the fact of the matter is we don't have many options for Iraq unless we face the fact that we have lost the confrontation and we have to find a way to retrench and withdraw. I heard Bush this afternoon. He's still talking victory. I don't think you would know what victory is even if we have it. I don't think it's obtainable in any fashion. I think the only way you could obtain victory is by doubling, maybe even tripling the American troop presence in Iraq, and I don't see anyone talking about this. So this is, to me, Iraq is where Vietnam was after the Tet Offensive. So we knew it was all lost after Tet in January 1968, but it took us 7 years to extricate ourselves. And how many Americans died? And in Vietnam, it was over 30,000 after we recognized we had lost. Here we recognize we have lost, and we're still dying. We're still sending American young people over there to die in Iraq in the name of honoring the people who have died already. And I think this is a disgrace. This is just unconscionable. And I don't see Bob Gates changing any of that.
Mel Goodman is with us, former CIA analyst here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We go to the phones. And Steve in Salinas, thanks for your call. You're on the air.
A couple of things. Good afternoon. First, I wanted to ask a question about your previous guest.
Mm-hmm.
If Rumsfeld can be taken to the World Court for this, might not Bush be taken to the same place? And might that be why he bought some land in Paraguay?
we're trying to connect those dots, Steve, but I haven't been able. The Paraguay dot in particular is still an open question. We've yet to come up with substantial confirmation of that, and the original story came from the Cuban News Service, so we haven't been able to find a more reliable site for that. To your larger question, Mel Goodman, do you have a sense? By the way, Bill Goodman, no relation to you as far as I know, is the legal director for the Center for Constitutional Rights, and he was on with us in the previous half hour, and they are planning to ask a German prosecutor to indict Rumsfeld for war crimes.
Well, I think they're just wasting their time. There's no international court that would take the case, because the reaction that I think this would engender is that America has the legal processes and the political processes to deal with these problems, and therefore we don't have any jurisdiction. And I assume that's what would happen. Have war crimes been committed? Of course they have. The greatest crime of all was lying to go to war. To me, this is grounds for impeachment. Is there going to be impeachment? Of course not, because that's a political process, and no one wants to waste political time at this juncture. But if you look at the Supreme Court decisions of Hamdan versus Rumsfeld, and Rasul versus Bush, it's clear that Bush has broken the law on warrantless eavesdropping, on military tribunals, on committing torture and abuse, in not honoring habeas corpus. Those are basically the grounds that were used against Richard Nixon for impeachment, lying and warrantless eavesdropping. So you could make the same case against Bush. Is this going to happen, particularly in a Democratic Congress? No. No one's going to waste his time with this. The important thing to do is find a way out of Iraq. That's where we should spend our time.
All right. And Steve, did you have another comment?
Yeah, I just wondered if the Senate now, the Democrats in the Senate, might have the guts to filibuster Gates' nomination.
Well, Mel, you talked about the possibility that this would be pushed into January and that Jim Webb might have a vote on it, but I think the Republicans will try very hard to get this done with the lame duck Congress.
Well, that's true. But regardless, I don't think the Democrats are going to go to the mat on this issue. For one thing, this town is so relieved that this arrogant Secretary of Defense is gone. Someone they found insufferable, and that's true for the media, for the Congress, but they were afraid. They were gutless. I agree with that. They were afraid to deal with him. They were unwilling to really call him on the mat on many of these issues. But he's gone now. So I think they're willing to make a tabula rasa and give Bob Gates the advantage of the doubt and forget his previous transgressions when he was head of CIA, when he was sort of the politicizer for Bill Casey, when he lied about Iran-Contra before congressional committees, and we even have the Iran-Contra investigation that documents all of that. Mm-hmm. I still think they're going to push that all aside, get him confirmed. There may be some negative votes, not many, but I think he'll get marked up slightly just to remind him that, you know, we're watching you carefully over at the Pentagon, because let's face it, there's a certain irony here. We went to war by lying about the intelligence, using fabricated intelligence, specious intelligence. Then we make the head of the Defense Department of the Pentagon with its $450 billion budget, the guy who was the chief politicizer for Bill Casey during the entire 1980s, which is the reason why the CIA and Bob Gates thoroughly missed the decline and collapse of the Soviet Union. So I find the irony in all of this is almost unbelievable, and this could only happen in Washington.
But why would the Democrats allow just more liars to come into power?
Well, what have the Democrats done about any aspect of the war, going back to the resolution to use force in October 2002, and you have people like John Kerry who were asked 3 years later if they knew then what they know now, would they have voted any differently, and John Kerry, of course, said he wouldn't. So, I just can't explain that. I do have a lot of respect for Carl Levin, however, so I think it will be a better process in terms of confirmation than it would be under John Warner. But certainly he's not going to be stopped. He's not going to be blocked in any way. He'll be marked up a little bit. I think the points will be made, but he'll go on to serve as Secretary of Defense and inherit a very difficult and messy situation.
And will Mel Goodman testify at those hearings?
Only if asked.
and if asked?
If asked, oh, of course I would.
All right.
I don't know if I would be relevant to this particular position, but I certainly could give some useful background on Bob Gates' past and why he's really not fit to serve. And I think that's what's important here. So it's a man without military experience, without industrial experience, without experience in the military-industrial complex, who's a micromanager who I think really will drive the uniform military crazy after several months. It's a peculiar choice. The only thing that makes any sense is the Bush family is circling the wagons. They're protecting their legacy, and they had to have someone they could trust who was very loyal. I mean, Bob Gates has been a political windsock all of his life, and that's not going to change, and he'll be a political windsock for the Bush family.
Yeah, and if you had to pick somebody from Texas, I mean, Kinky Friedman's available.
That's right. He only got, 12% of the vote?
Yeah, he got the cigar vote. We're going to take a break and continue with Mel Goodman. He used to work at the CIA. He's now a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. We're talking about the nomination of Robert Gates to replace Don Rumsfeld right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
This is Laura Pruneda, Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneda Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneda of Pruneda Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to prunedarealestate.com.
I mean, tell people why I say,
Hi, this is Doug Basham reminding you to join me weeknights at 7 here on KRXA. That's Basham Radio weeknights 7 to 10 p.m. right here on AM 540 KRXA. Raise a little hell, raise a little hell.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
I'm Peter B. Collins. As we continue on the show they named after me, Melvin Goodman is our guest. He served at the CIA and is now a senior fellow at the Center for International Policy. Our music of the moment is by Supertramp, and this is from an album from the late 1980s called Brother, Where You Bound. And if it's in your vinyl collection or you got the CD somewhere, dig it out, because the title song is a blistering indictment of the Bush administration, including some audio clips from Bush and some of the characters in his administration. So if you want to go for a nostalgia hit, you can find that. And we're talking with Mel Goodman about the shuffle at the Pentagon, the president finally acceding to the chorus of voices. And, Mel, this really did reach an unusual pitch and level as the Army Times came out just in front of the election demanding the Rumsfeld resignation.
Yeah, in fact, it was almost an incredible campaign if you look at the retired military officers and the retired ambassadors who were very critical of the Defense Department, the pundit community, people who've been supportive of the war, the leading neoconservatives. And I find it kind of ironic that they've turned on the Bush administration and referred to it as dysfunctional. People like Richard Perle and Ken Edelman, who thought it was Iraq was going to be this cakewalk.
Hey, when did they figure it out, Mel?
I really don't know why it took so long. You know, the problem in Iraq has nothing to do with the lack of a plan, the fact that we don't have enough troops, or there was no post-war strategy. The problem with Iraq was the decision to go into Iraq. That's where all of the damage began. It was that decision, and that was a decision of three people, Cheney, Rumsfeld, and Bush. The cabal, as Colin Powell's aide Larry Wilkerson referred to it, and I think that's exactly what it was, this preemptive war that was based on lies. That's why I find it ironic to make Bob Gates, who was guilty of his own lies at the CIA, now he's the one who's going to tell truth to power while he's at the Pentagon. I mean, has he really changed his spot so sufficiently?
And the conflator in chief, who still likes to fancy himself as the decider, Bush was there at the news conference today, again, talking about Iraq and framing it as part of the war on terror. And I hate that phrase to begin with, but that's his phrase. And it's just flat wrong. And the American people know it, and the election proves that.
They finally know it. I mean, it took them 3.5 years, but thank God they finally saw the light on this one. And here is Bush, who is, to me, responsible for the most profligate decision of any American president, the decision to go into Iraq in the first place. And then he comes up with this self-fulfilling prophecy that Iraq is the center of the war against terrorism. And as you say, there is no war against terrorism, and we should be honest about terrorism as a threat. But if it is the center, it's because we went there and created it.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't exist that way before we invaded with 150,000 troops.
Well, I screamed that at the TV when he was saying it, but apparently he was unable to hear me. Barbara in Cave Creek, Arizona, join us.
Hi.
Go right ahead, Barbara. You're on the air.
Okay, great. Meet the new boss, same as the old boss.
Yeah.
I'm just in shock because I'm old enough to remember all this. And they're doing it again. And, you know, my fear is that the next one to go is going to be Agnew, am I living in a parallel universe? they get rid of Cheney.
You think Agnew's still alive? So do I.
No, he's dead. I looked it up.
You probably feel Casey's dead, too.
Cheney goes, and nobody has to answer for anything.
Barbara, Cheney has only gone hunting.
I think he's been gone ever since he went hunting. Once you shoot your friend in the face and then ask him to apologize, you know you're gone.
Yeah, but they're going to set themselves up with who they want to run. This is my fear, who they want to run for president.
The only change that's going to count is going to be 2008. And
right, well, that's what I'm saying.
Then
is
we'll
that
get
they
real change.
If we get rid of Bush after Cheney, Pelosi, you know, they will appoint their Ford, and that Ford will be the person who's running for president as president.
Well, if history repeats itself, that person will then be defeated, and we'll get a new president.
Right.
But I think you're right.
Well, hopefully we will
have somebody. The more they stay the
same. You know, I mean, I don't trust them at all, and the fact that Gates is in there is just some kind of, like, bizarre nightmare. What's the name of that? Groundhog Day. I keep living this.
Barbara, you have no sense of proportionality. Henry Kissinger turned him down.
Well, Henry Kissinger was the one who told Nixon to stay in Vietnam.
And he's busy telling Bush to stay in Iraq.
Hello?
Isn't that scary, Mel, that we've learned how influential Kissinger is with this president?
Oh, when Cheney said, I spend more time with Kissinger than anyone outside of government, and so does the president, that sent chills. And then I found out that Kissinger took the same memo he gave to Nixon, that be careful with withdrawal. It's like feeding the Americans peanuts. You give them a little withdrawal, they're going to want more peanuts and more withdrawal. And that's what he's telling George Bush. That's what he's whispering in the president's ear. So, no, I agree with your caller. I mean, I think she's a little too cynical, but I think it requires a certain amount of skepticism with regard to what's going on here. And again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. This is just really a changing of parking spaces at the Pentagon. I don't see any great policy changes. He's still talking victory. I heard him say victory about 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
At the press conference, and until he realizes there's no such thing as victory in Iraq, we are stuck with this man. And remember, the Tet Offensive in Vietnam was January 1968. Over 30,000 Americans died after the Tet Offensive, and the Tet Offensive taught us we couldn't win that war. It took us 7 years to get out. We've already been in Iraq longer than we were in Europe fighting World War II. This war has already cost more than World War I. And is this ever going to end?
Dave, in the Pinnacles, join us with Mel Goodman here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, hi, guys. Hey, from the demeanor and response from the president today, you just kind of got left with the impression that if someone stood behind him and yelled, Nancy, that he better be wearing his Depends. Hey, what I really want to say is Nancy Pelosi and her conciliatory gesture towards the president left me with a feeling like, hey, bub, do what we say, and we won't put you in the 8x8. And I got a feeling that first there was Augustus, then Constantine, and now there's Pelosi. Oh. I think she's a woman with a vision, and I think she's going to hold it over the administration, and I think she's going to push a social agenda in this country. And I think we're going to see a medical bill come through and a bunch of stuff that's going to happen, and it wouldn't surprise me if she ran in 08.
Now, well, it surprised me, and I remember her when she was in Baltimore because her father was the mayor, Mayor
right.
John Tommy D'Alessandro of Baltimore, mm-hmm. and her brother was the mayor of Baltimore. I have much less confidence in Nancy Pelosi than you do, and she's about to name Congressman Hastings from Florida the head of the House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence and dump Jane Harman from Southern California and appoint someone who was impeached as a federal judge in, I think, 1989. And if she goes ahead and does that, you better take that into account before you make these optimistic assessments about the difference Nancy Pelosi is going to make.
Yeah, and Dave, it's Pelosi, not Pelosi. It's Italian,
Pelosi.
Not Polish.
No.
Okay.
Italian.
Thanks a lot. All right. Well, Mel, I want to thank you for joining us. As always, you're edifying, and I think it's going to be a very interesting process here. I don't disagree with your assessment. The Gates will likely be confirmed, but I hope that it's a messy one and that key messages are sent that limit his reign there at the Pentagon.
It is important that it gets marked up a little bit.
Yeah. Thank you, Mel. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Peter. Good to be with you.
Mel Goodman here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Jason Leopold has more on Robert Gates coming up next, right here.
United States, you have many rights. You have the right to assemble. You have the right to free speech. You have the right to worship as you choose. And when you disagree with Billy Sunshine, you have the right to be wrong.
The Billy Sunshine Show, right here on KRXA 540 AM. Tune in Sundays 3 to 5.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Rumsfeld resigns, quoting Churchill.
I have benefited greatly from criticism, and at no time have I suffered a lack thereof.
President Bush on the election.
It was a thumping.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush sprang a post-election surprise today, replacing Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld. CBS News correspondent Mark Noller begins our coverage.
As firings go, it was gentle and courteous.
Now, after a series of thoughtful conversations, Secretary Rumsfeld and I agreed that the timing is right for new leadership at the Pentagon.
Having become a lightning rod for those critical of U.S. policy in Iraq, Rumsfeld was being shown the door. But Mr. Bush said they both agreed a fresh perspective was needed at the Pentagon. And he announced that former CIA Director Robert Gates would supply it. Mr. Bush also admitted that he had deliberately misled reporters last week when he said he wanted Rumsfeld to serve out his term in office.
And the reason why is I didn't want to inject a major decision about this war in the final days of a campaign.
And the president said Rumsfeld was out regardless of the election results. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Rumsfeld will stay on until Gates is confirmed, assuring that he'll go down as the longest-serving defense secretary in U.S. history. His critics say he's served too long already. Even before the election, this American soldier in Baghdad was saying Rumsfeld had to go.
We need a change. We need a focus change. We need a new plan. And everyone above us knows that we need a new plan.
CBS News military consultant Jeff McCausland, a retired Army colonel, says Rumsfeld was often faulted for charging ahead, ignoring voices of caution.
Those who talked about the possibility of an insurgency were, if you will, sidelined in the run-up to Iraq. Most of the talk, most of the efforts were placed on how to get to Baghdad, and only a small part of the time how to get to the day after.
CBS News chief Washington correspondent Bob Schieffer calls Rumsfeld's removal very, very significant.
This is the beginning of an overall re-evaluation, and I would be very surprised if it didn't lead to some sort of withdrawal beginning sometime this year.
The U.S. ambassador in Baghdad, Zalmay Khalilzad, reassured Iraqi leaders today that President Bush remains the architect of U.S. foreign policy and commander-in-chief. Khalilzad said Mr. Bush will work with Congress to get support needed for the mission in Iraq to succeed. Now this.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover business card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover business card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100? Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Suns versus Spurs, followed by Pistons versus Kings. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
John Tester's victory in Montana puts the Democrats within one seat of controlling the Senate after winning a clear majority in the House.
I'm Bob Fuss on Capitol Hill. House Democrats claimed a mandate as they get ready to take over Congress. Control of the Senate still isn't decided. After final results came in from Montana today, the Democrats had defeated five Senate Republican incumbents, putting their number at 50. Whether they get to 51 and a majority depends on Virginia, and the race there is extremely tight. Democrat Jim Webb leads by about 7,000 votes, but two tiny a margin to call it for sure. In the House, Democrats will be in charge, and Nancy Pelosi will be Speaker.
The American people spoke with their votes, and they spoke for change, and they spoke in support of a new direction for all Americans.
As for Republicans, they're adjusting to their new minority status. The outgoing House Speaker Dennis Hastert makes clear he wants no part of that and won't run for minority leader. Bob Fuzz, CBS News, Capitol Hill.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. President Bush has a down-home election analysis.
It was a thumping.
He took responsibility for the losses that he blamed on voter displeasure with the Iraq War and House GOP scandals. He also got in a dig at his political architect, Karl Rove.
Obviously, he was working harder in the campaign than he was.
A red-faced Rove sat in the East Room front row as his boss spoke.
Mr. Bush has invited Nancy Pelosi to lunch at the White House tomorrow. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Yeah, since you guys have licensed insurance counselors, can you tell me how to break the news to my wife that I just bought a sports car?
That's a real question that was put to the licensed car insurance experts at Progressive Direct. When you call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE, we'll answer your questions and help you find the policy that best fits you. So whether your question's unique or typical...
Will I get a discount if I insure both my cars with you?
In fact, you will. Call 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Progressive Direct Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio, available most states and situations.
I never get tired of hearing, Mr. Orrick, your 8-pound hotel vacuum has made a difference in my life. Chore has become a joy. My carpets actually look like new and the air I breathe is fresh. What a difference your vacuum has made in my life. Friend, try my Orrick XL for 30 days, risk-free. If you don't love it, we'll take it back. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and we'll make a difference in your life.
It's been a raw, emotional...
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 6 minutes past the hour. We are celebrating Democratic victories and celebrating some Republican retirements. Rick Santorum, Conrad Burns, J.D. Hayworth, Richard Pombo. Why don't you go drill offshore, Richard? Don Sherwood, John Sweeney, Charles Taylor, and Kurt Weldon, all heading into retirement. Not a moment too soon. We got lines open if you want to join this conversation, and it'll be wide open next hour in the free speed zone. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. You can also drop me a line, email. That's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. That's Peter Garrett in the Midnight Oil. My country, right or wrong, I say no way. And American voters expressed that at the ballot yesterday. The president kind of got the message, but in the news conference today, it was fascinating to hear him try to talk about the Republican defeats as just a couple of cases of, people having to use write-ins for the person who replaced Tom DeLay on the ballot and the person in Florida who replaced Mark Foley on the ballot, the president not acknowledging how those problems developed or just the generalized perception that Republicans have become quite corrupt and that evidence is clear to many Americans. Jason Leopold joins us on the program today. He's the investigative reporter at truthout.org, the author of a new book, a memoir for a young man called News Junkie. Jason, how are you?
Oh, it's such a, it's such a beautiful day, even though it's cloudy out. it's great.
It does lift a burden, doesn't it?
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's I think it's a stunning upset, and I mean, it's almost like watching a sporting event, particularly when you see how by the large margin that in Pennsylvania. The challenger won against Rick Santorum.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these are people, career politicians, who have spent their most of their lives in Washington, and people just said, you know, enough is enough.
Yeah. Jason, I want to talk to you about two pieces you've written, one about the election and the other about Rumsfeld and Robert Gates, his replacement, that is due out at Truth Out a little bit later today.
Right.
And let's talk first here about the election. One, I just found it interesting. Greg Palast was on our mega broadcast last evening. And he had penned a piece about the stolen election of 2006, and he wrote in the past tense before the election. And he offered up three different ways that at least 4 million votes were suppressed or otherwise not expected to be counted in this election. And to be fair, we should acknowledge that what we have in some of these very close races, like Montana, Missouri, and Virginia, is a tentative total from mostly electronic voting machines as of last night. But there are tons and tons of absentee ballots that haven't been counted, and each jurisdiction has a little latitude about when those ballots are actually counted and when the certified results will be issued. So there could be a few minor changes occurring. But given what occurred, it is a powerful message, and if Palast is right, 4 million voices were silenced. And even with that, the Democrats and progressives, the challengers to this misguided administration, were heard loud and clear yesterday.
Yeah, I think that Greg makes a really, really good point, because when he says that, at least the way that I interpret it, the election being stolen, is that people, you know, we have, when we're going out to vote, we expect our vote to be counted. And if, you know, you're going to a computer, you know, and you're casting a ballot or electronic voting machine, and suddenly it's not it doesn't come up, or you're you don't have a paper trail,
or you're standing in line around the block because the server that checks people in has crashed.
Right. In a way, that is, you know, that's stealing your vote. You know, it's
the robocalls that sent people to the wrong precinct or discouraged people from voting, largely African Americans. I mean, all of that has an effect, and most of it is not actually measurable.
Well, that's, you know, that I think yesterday was a clear example of the rampant problems with these voting machines. I know that you were, you know, doing a marathon session yesterday and discussing this, but you know, what's interesting is that we saw this in 2004, but we did not see the media, for the most part, the mainstream media, really pay close attention to it, or if any attention at all. And right now, you know, they're, you know, they were out there writing about it, but who knows truly how many ballots really were lost? I mean, if you're talking about electronic voting machines breaking down left and right, you know, you can't trust the veracity of those machines or the integrity of the machines actually, you know, functioning properly.
Yeah, we have a Republican congressman who was turned down for not having the right identification. I think that was in Indiana.
Yeah.
Chelsea Clinton was unable to vote in Chelsea, the borough of New York.
Ironic, huh?
Because she wasn't on the precinct list.
Yeah.
And there was a governor in the Carolinas, I believe, who was told he couldn't vote until he brought a proper ID, and then he returned with it.
Right. Right, and I think that this is a, you know, it's funny. I think it's a definitely people have woken up to the fact that that we really need now to overhaul the Help America Vote Act, which was instituted in terms of overhauling the electoral process because of 2000. Now we have to, I believe, we have to go right back to, you know, the drawing board.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yesterday I actually, because there was such a widespread breakdown of these voting machines, you know, I spent the day and well into the evening phoning Diebold, which, as you know, has a majority of these machines.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a press office person who handles, you know, Diebold Election Systems.
David Baird, the only one in America authorized to speak for the company.
That is absolutely right. This guy was nowhere to be found.
Right, he's never available.
He was nowhere to be found. I called every number that they had available. This guy was just, you know,
He either doesn't exist or he has entered the witness protection program.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's take some calls. Richard is on the line from Morgantown, North Carolina. Welcome, Richard.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well today.
I wanted to make a comment about something I think your guest or the one who was before the break, if it's the same person, made.
No, we change the sheets here every half hour, but you can go ahead and comment about Rumsfeld or Robert Gates.
Thank you very much. I wanted to make a comment that it would, that the other person made a statement about the real issue of Iraq being Cheney, Bush, and Rumsfeld.
Mm-hmm.
And I really felt that was misleading in a way, because it was really all the think tanks, all the right-wing think tanks, all the right-wing mega funders, the elements of the military-industrial complex, and those all had a real vested interest in going into Iraq. So if we merely get rid of Bush and Rumsfeld and Cheney, that's not the real issue, because I really do believe there's a really large portion of the Democratic Party that's neoliberal and just about as bad as the neocons, but they use different techniques. So the ultimate agenda would be the same, which is to control the oil in Iraq, and that will still be there for a long time. In fact, Hillary Clinton has already signed on to that particular tact.
Well, I understand your point. I do think we're talking about degrees here, and I think that by many degrees we're going to see a shift, and we're going to see a focus on the message that was sent by the American people yesterday, that Iraq is a mess and they want something done about it. Now, Pelosi was shrewd in her comments this morning, talking only about change in the broadest terms. And she also is using a charm offensive to try to develop bipartisanship. And if that doesn't work, I can tell you that she'll drop the charm and take her gloves off pretty quickly.
So, may I make a comment about that?
I think, yeah, you may. I think it's going to be interesting. I do share your concern that, you know, by identifying those individuals, we don't necessarily deal with the complex that Dwight Eisenhower first warned us about. But that is an endemic problem that we're going to struggle with for, I think, the foreseeable future. Go ahead, Richard.
Sure, thank you. I'm not referring to 911 per se, but I did want to mention that Griffin, in his books, does talk about the difference between the neoliberal versus the neocon approach to global hegemony. One's with the kid gloves and is more political and more tactful. The other one is a lot more like using a glove that's encased in iron. And the goal is still the same, and I think that Pelosi probably signs on to that goal to the same degree that the others do, but they will handle it differently, like you say.
Mm-hmm.
But really the goal is still to achieve control of energy in the world and to present a front to China and Russia.
Well, you make a very good point, Richard. Jason, did you want to respond?
You know, I think that in terms of discussing all the think tanks or the comment made regarding the think tanks, I think that's totally appropriate. But, you know, also the folks that are in the Bush administration were also part of those think tanks, most notably the Project for the New American Century,
correct,
which counted Richard Armitage, Dick Cheney, Donald Rumsfeld,
Wolfowitz, Pearl.
I mean, they were all,
Zal Khalilzad.
Yeah, they were all part of that, you know, early policy, if you will. You know, and, you know, in terms of what you said about oil, I think that, you know, I can just point you to last weekend's Bush, when he was campaigning, his comments, which, in fact, for the first time, the Washington Post, who I thought has not been tough enough on the president, but they actually wrote a story saying that for the first time Bush cited oil as the reason to stay in Iraq. And sure enough, you look at that transcript, that's what he said.
Guys, I'm late for a break. Thank you for the call, Richard. Jason, stand by. We'll continue in just a moment. Lines open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540. This week on Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollandrealestate.com. Rock, Roll, and Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
And a very pleasant good afternoon to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. Well, we're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in Del Monte Forest Patio Drive. It looks like this is Herder's. A tree is hanging down some wires as well as some wires of the roadway. So fire department on the way to the scene there to tend to that particular situation. In Gonzales on Iverson Road at Johnson Canyon, we have an accident reported there. This is a big rig and a pickup truck involved. CHP arriving to the scene as well as sheriff's deputies. In Watsonville, just an advisory for tonight, nighttime road work between Highway 1 and 129 and Freedom. Caltrans will have one lane shut down in each direction starting at 7 p.m. till 6 a.m. tomorrow. For pavement upgrades, you can expect at least 15-minute delays. Well, isn't it time for a new pair of favorite jeans? Lee gives you the newest fits and styles to choose from in any wash you want. Come see the new Lee's and find Lee, get what fits. I'm Mike, that's traffic on KRXA.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues. We dedicate this one to Robert Gates. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon, Robert Gates, newly nominated to replace Donald Rumsfeld at the Pentagon, was over at the men's warehouse being fitted for some flame-proof pants. Because he is, a man who's been identified as lying to Congress about the Iran-Contra affair. Jason Leopold is with us from truthout.org. Jason, when's your piece about Gates going to be up on the website?
You know, it's actually there right now.
It is? Okay.
It's there right now if people want to go check it out. And, you know, what I did is I went back into, obviously, back to the 80s. Certainly a great time for music, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And so that brought back some memories. But I just try to pull out what, you know, what some people, CIA analysts at the time, were actually saying about Robert Gates. And it's amazing. I mean, this is a guy who basically now is going to, if confirmed, be, you know, overseeing a war that resulted in the, you know, ouster of Saddam Hussein, a person that arguably he helped to prop up. it's just incredible. So certainly in that regard, he is a because he did work with Don Rumsfeld when Rumsfeld was sent over there.
Well, and let's not forget
that famous picture of Rumsfeld shaking Saddam Hussein's hand.
Let's not forget CIA support for the Mujahideen
exactly.
in Afghanistan in
right.
the 1980s that produced Osama bin Laden.
Right. Right. Exactly. This is now just deja vu all over again.
It's interesting because in your article, and I checked, it is up on the website, you cite Melvin Goodman, who was our guest in the preceding half hour.
Right.
And he really nailed Robert Gates. He worked alongside him for many years and then for him when he was finally approved as CIA director. He was rejected on the first nomination and then finally jammed through in 1991. So he served briefly until the Clinton administration came in. But Gates is someone that Goodman describes as a micromanager and somebody who has no expertise on the key issues of the Pentagon, never dealt with the defense contractors, never dealt with the diplomatic or military arms. He's always been a spook.
Yeah, in that regard, in terms of not having that kind of experience, he certainly would fit the model of what the Bush administration, the senior members are made up of. I think that, what's really what concerns me at this point is, and I think it should be a concern to, the public at large, is that the Democrats, today, Carl Levin had a conference call with reporters to just have some reaction to the resignation of Donald Rumsfeld. And while there was a question brought up about Gates' role in Iran-Contra, Carl Levin did say that, it's 15 years have passed since he was confirmed, and let's see what he's made of now. But I think that those questions, because they revolved around, at the time in 1991, Cooked intelligence mm-hmm. reports to the White House, that is something that we need to revisit, because that is exactly what has taken place over the years.
A cynic would say that is a key qualification to work in the Bush-Cheney administration.
Well, sure.
You got to be able to cook your intelligence parboil it when necessary.
But you know what? We do not. You're absolutely right. I mean, a cynic would say that. However, and here is something that's really important. When we're talking about things going on or the possibility of, striking or preemptive strike against Iran, who better than to bring in than somebody who was actually providing the White House at the time under the first Bush administration and Reagan as mm-hmm. well, with cooked intelligence on Iran.
Yeah.
So this is or Iran, excuse me.
Somebody
corrected me for...
Well, and also the tilt toward Iraq that produced the Rumsfeld visit to Saddam in 1984. Dave
right.
joins us on the phone from Eureka. Hi, Dave. You're on the air.
A lot of good work last night, Peter. And
thank
Jason,
you.
Jason, I spend an awful lot of time on the Internet, and I share with you the best thinking on yesterday. It was not supposed to happen. That
right.
The cons had, in fact, programmed their machines to flip several hundred thousand votes. Two things went wrong. One was that they grossly miscalculated how many angry, unhappy people were going to show up at the polls.
Exactly.
And two, some of the stolen source codes, it's the feeling, fell into the hands of some high-tech Dems, and the Republicans don't like it at all. They want machines impounded and held under guard while they go through them. So,
well, it's interesting. Santorum apparently has withdrawn that demand to impound the machines and investigate them in Pennsylvania.
Sure. I mean, there's... The margin is just so wide. There's no chance that it would tilt toward his direction
right.
At this point or any other. We had some really close races, as you know, late into Tuesday evening, early Wednesday morning.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact remains that these machines are highly unreliable.
Right.
The technology itself, while seems to be ahead of the time, in a sense.
Jason, I'm out of time. That's Jason Leopold. Go to truthout.org. Read his piece today. Warren Stewart next to talk about a recount in Virginia. Thanks, Jason.
Thanks, Peter.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Knowing when to fold them. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network. You know what the most important speech is in a democracy? Inauguration? State of the Union? No, it's this.
When you know you've lost, you call the winner and congratulate them. And I congratulate Maria Cantwell on her next term in the Senate. Let's hear it for her.
It's the concession speech. Because who gives the concession speech? It's a person who spent 1, maybe 2 years working 14 hours a day without pay, building an organization from scratch, slowly growing in power and influence, and who is convinced that he is the best person to make America that shining city on a hill. And then his campaign manager hands him a slip of paper with some numbers on it, and just like that, he wakes up back in Kansas. You don't want to let it go. And in some countries, you don't let it go. In some countries, you decide, well, politics can't get me what I want. I know where the ammo's buried. But here, well, it's not always terribly enthusiastic.
Say to my opponent tonight, congratulations to you.
But the losers congratulate the winners. And these are people who just 24 hours, well, I mean, you know what they were saying 24 hours ago.
Bob Corker lives in a 30-room mansion.
But on election night, there is this sudden, inexplicable wave of sanity. The winners promise to include the losers.
To make this nation an America where we live together as one family.
And the losers give up.
I want to congratulate Bob Menendez. He ran a spirited race, and I join all of New Jersey in wishing him well.
The magic of democracy is not that the person with the most votes wins. It's that the person with the least votes voluntarily agrees to go home. Now this.
Now you can dial a diamond and save half by calling Empire Diamond at 1-800-SAVE-HALF. Over 70 years in the Empire State Building, they'll sell diamonds wholesale without a middleman's markup. That's right, GIA-graded diamonds at half the price of famous high-end jewelers. Qualified buyers may have diamonds sent to their home or office for a free 10-day no-obligation inspection and get a 60-day money-back guarantee. So save half on your diamonds. Visit at dialadiamond.com or call 1-800-SAVE-HALF. That's 1-800-SAVE-HALF.
This is Dave Ross.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show, originating from San Francisco and produced by Matt Renner. It was a hard-fought election. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, George Allen was a favorite son, even though he grew up in California. Yes, Virginia voters had bonded with him around the Washington Redskins and his folksy style. Ah, but he got macaca'd. And that was a self-inflicted macaca wound.
Ready, steady, go!
And Allen didn't recover. And as of this moment, Jim Webb is ahead of George Allen in the vote count in Virginia by 49.6 to 49.3%. It's a gap of 7,200 votes out of about 2.3 million total votes cast. And joining us to discuss this is Warren Stewart. He is the policy director of Vote Trust USA, and he is joining us to talk about the picture there in Virginia.
Hi,
Warren,
there.
Warren, how are you today?
Oh, I'm, well, a little bit fried from staying up late last night, but I'm doing okay.
Yeah, you know, 6 hours of sleep combined with kind of hopeful election news for me, it was enough. I'll sleep better tonight.
Yeah, I wish I'd had 6 hours of sleep. I was up pretty late last night talking to Secretary of State in office in Montana, because that one was really down to the wire, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about that first. Is that resolved? Has Conrad Burns actually conceded?
Well, given the totals that are reported, and they finally have all the precincts there, all the counties reporting. There were a few hand-counted paper ballot counties out in the middle of nowhere that hadn't reported yet. But now that they're all in, the margin of victory in the you know, reported totals is about 0.9%, and that's above the 0.5% required. You know, it has to be below 0.5% in order for Burns to ask for a recount. So I don't think he has that option. He could still contest it, and we can talk about that particular bizarre scenario, but I suspect that, yes, that is Tester's seat.
Mm-hmm. And so far, though, we don't have a concession from the incumbent.
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's probably huddling with Jack Abramoff to see exactly, you know, which way to go.
Well, you know, that's that may be where he goes for his advice. Who knows?
So talk a little bit about the contest rules in Montana. What are the rights that the loser has here?
Well, this is an interesting situation, actually, with both of these races. If it does come out, whether Burns concedes or Allen concedes, and if one of them does, we have a situation where it's 50 Democrats and 49 Republicans in the House, and that is essentially a tie, because of course if the one extra seat went to the you know, if it ended up 50-50, the tie would be broken by the vice president. Mm-hmm. So that would essentially be a Republican majority. So if it's actually set up as a tie, 50 Dems and 49 Republicans, and there's a contested election, if a Senate election is contested, it isn't actually resolved in the courts or in the state of Montana. It's actually resolved by the Senate Rules Committee.
Ooh.
And
Ooh.
The way it works in the Senate is a little bit different from the House. In the House, on the first day of the session in January, they vote. It's a formality, of course, but they vote for the leadership, and of course all the Dems vote for the Dem, and then, you know, the Republicans to Republicans, and so you end up picking the Speaker and the Chairman of all the committees. However, in the Senate, that doesn't necessarily happen on the first day of the session, and the rules of governance from the previous Senate continue to apply until that vote takes place. And if there's a contested election, arguably, they would continue with the leadership from the 109th Congress, and that would leave the Republicans in charge of all those committees. Until the election contest was resolved. And the last time we had something like this was in 1996, when Bob Dornan in California challenged his loss to Loretta Sanchez.
Mm-hmm.
That stretched out for over a year in the House Administration Committee. Now, this is truly a bizarre scenario, I know, but it's been lurking. We've been thinking about this for a couple of months now. There's something called the Federal Contested Elections Act, and that's a very vague act, but that does cover situations like this. That is a possibility. I have a feeling that even the Republicans would see that the PR downside of that, and probably would not do that.
Oh, Warren, I'm going to have to suspend your comment there for rational thinking.
No, I apologize.
I mean, first of all, do you know who heads the Senate Rules Committee? I don't.
It's Trent Lott.
Oh,
and
great.
Trent Lott is the current chairman. The ranking member is Senator Dodd.
Mm-hmm.
The way that's I seriously doubt that they would go that route. The only reason that is possible with Burns is, unlike Alan surely is thinking he still has a political future, and he doesn't want to look in Virginia. Let's shift to Virginia for a second.
All right.
In Virginia, you have a situation where it's, what did you say, it was about 7,200 votes now?
Yes, out of 2.3 million total cast.
Yeah. Now, of those 2.3 million votes, I think it's about 1.8 million of those were cast on paperless touchscreen voting machines. Machines that, if you want to get a recount there, you just push a button and you get a reprint.
Yeah.
The number's going to be exactly the same, will not change.
Mm-hmm.
There's about 22, 25, maybe 28 counties that used optical scan machines.
Mm-hmm.
So those will be paper ballots. And, of course, there are the absentee ballots.
Yeah.
Excuse
me, Warren, do we know if Virginia has yet counted absentee ballots in
yes.
the Senate race?
Yes, they were all counted.
Okay.
With central count optical scanners yesterday.
Because, here in California, certain jurisdictions, most notably San Diego County, Michael Haas has announced he will not be counting the absentees until tomorrow.
That's correct. And in some states it's even later than that because they accept absentee ballots with a postmark on election day.
Of election day. Mm-hmm.
In some ways that seems like a good thing. Because if people are late getting it in for whatever reason. But Virginia, they counted them all yesterday. There is still the issue of provisional ballots. However, in Virginia, unlike California, the provisional ballot is only counted if it's cast in the correct precinct,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to being in California, if it's cast anywhere in the correct county where the voter is actually registered.
Okay.
So the acceptance rate or the number of provisional ballots, the percentage of provisional ballots that they counted in Virginia, for example, in 2004, was only 15%. And, you're talking about maybe there's going to be 3,000, 4,000 provisional ballots at the most. That's not going to be, at the most, that's 1,000, let's say. That's too high. 600, 700, 800 provisional ballots that they'll count. And, of course, they'll be split between the candidates.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what's going to happen here is Alan will do his political calculus and probably decide that he doesn't want to lose the same race twice. And, thinking Kerry-like, 2004 Kerry-like, that he has, a chance to run again later and probably won't do that. That is my guess. Now, however, Burns really has no political future, so he's got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Why not give it a shot?
Now let me ask you this, Warren. Do they have the right under their state laws to first demand a recount and then, if they're unsatisfied with the recount, move into the Senate challenge?
Montana, his margin of victory is too large because there it's 0.5%.
Mm-hmm.
In Virginia, it's 1%, and the margin of victory is very well within that.
Mm-hmm.
So that
appears to be ruled out pending the final count of all the ballots we just described.
No, in Virginia, no, he's definitely within the. He can. Alan definitely has the. Will be able to call for a recount. Of course, he has to wait until the certification, until
mm-hmm.
after the canvassing process. And I believe I heard that was November 27th.
Okay.
But anyway, it's a week, a couple weeks from now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Great. Now, coming back to this prospect of a challenge under the Senate Rules Committee,
mm-hmm.
Chaired by Trent Lott,
mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I responded to your comment is that we have seen all kinds of sleight of hand and outright violation of the rules of the House and Senate, particularly in the conference committees. And most recently, we saw a senator from Maine, Susan Collins, screaming that a bill that she had, had her own fingerprints on was changed to eliminate the Inspector General for Iraq And it appeared to have been done in the middle of the night before anybody had voted on the final conference report. And I offer that as just an example that Republicans appear to be willing to do all kinds of things, even breaking the rules, to achieve their goals. And another example is the premature swearing in of Brian Bilbray to replace the deposed Randy Cunningham in District 50 in Southern California. That election was not settled, was not certified, and they rushed the swearing in to moot any legal challenges to the underlying election.
Yeah, I find the Bilbray example there. The other example, I'm sorry to say, we've just seen too much of that. But the Bilbray case, that is a very troubling precedent. I don't know if that's the case before. I haven't looked into it. Perhaps Doris Matsui was sworn in before they certified the vote. I really don't know. But or Gene Schmidt, because we've had a few of these cases of special elections in mm-hmm. the last Congress. But the fact that he was sworn in before even all the votes had been counted, let alone, the certification. Right. That was an extremely troubling situation.
Yeah. So I offer that as a point, not to be trusting of this process. If a Republican senator goes to the Republican-controlled Senate and Trent Lott has to rule on this challenge.
Yeah, it's not just Trent Lott. There's a whole committee there, and everybody's, I've come to realize that so many of these decisions get made based on politics and posturing and positioning and, how they're all looking at the way something is perceived. You know, it was very interesting yesterday. I do want to make sure we talk a little bit about the fact that I had this very strange experience yesterday, a very schizophrenic sort of experience, because all day long I was getting all these reports of problems everywhere with huge long lines in Colorado and Ohio, and problems in Maryland, machines failing in Florida and in Pennsylvania and Mississippi and Tennessee and Indiana, polls being, the parties going to court to extend the poll. It just seemed to me, I actually said to a UK Guardian reporter, they called me in the middle of the afternoon and said, what's your assessment? And I said, unmitigated disaster. This is just like there's chaos all over the place. And I was in the CNN studio last night because they had me in there. They were intending to pull me in, like once an hour or whatever, mm-hmm. to talk about, the chaos of the polls, right?
Yeah.
And so they had me on the Dobbs show. He's very tuned into this.
He is. Yes, he is.
Mm-hmm. But then, after that, it seemed like unless a candidate was actually going to challenge the election, it wasn't news.
Yeah.
And, I think that's very troubling because I'm very worried that what's going to happen here is that people are going to have the impression that things went relatively smoothly, so we don't really have a problem with our election process.
Well, and I think there are two issues. One is the public argument would be they don't want to discourage voters by, falsely accusing the system of being rigged or deficient. On the other hand, the networks have a vested interest in completing the television shows on election night with a happy ending. And they want that happy ending to occur before 11 o'clock or midnight in each time zone because they it helps their ratings and, that's how they make their money. And so, they, of course, didn't like the protracted disputes in 2000 and 2004 over the presidential races. It was bad TV.
Well, I think one story carrying on. I think the fact that the Senate is still a little up in the air keeps the story going a little bit longer. But I think basically you're right about that. They want to wrap things up and, move on to the Super Bowl or whatever is the next.
Yeah. We got to take a quick break. We'll be back with Warren Stewart. Visit his website, votetrustusa.org. And if you have a question or comment about yesterday's election, about a potential recount in Montana or a challenge in Virginia, you can give us a call toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. Here at the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
This is Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. As your licensed real estate broker, our mission at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors is excellence and contribution, and our only concern is to promote and protect your interests. Quite simply, if the best result for you means no deal for us, we will immediately tell you. Selling but concerned about tax consequences? As a CPA, I can advise you of the implications of any capital gain. Seeking income-producing property? With a Stanford engineering degree, I have developed cash flow analysis to evaluate various opportunities. If you're buying a home, my promise is to help you find your dream house under the most favorable terms. We at Pruneta Real Estate Advisors are dedicated to our community. We will contribute $250 out of every local transaction to the school of your choice. I am Laura Pruneta of Pruneta Real Estate Advisors. Call me at 753-5310. That's 753-5310. Stop by 1271 North Davis Road in Salinas, across from Applebee's, or browse to PrunetaRealEstate.com.
The healthcare system is broken. That doesn't mean you have to be. Capitola Physical Therapy helps you return to the level of function you need with skilled personal attention. Whether it's golf, tennis, walking, or simply getting out of bed and maintaining your balance, Capitola Physical Therapy understands, cares, and knows how to help. Call Capitola Physical Therapy at 475-1200. That's 475-1200.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the very latest. Let's start off with a problem working in the Santa Cruz area. Northbound, well, let's skip to that. Let's go over to Gonzales. Looks like Iverson Road at Johnson Canyon, an accident there. It's a big rig and a pickup truck involved in this one. And it looks like emergency crews on scene there. Also going to mention a problem. We've got some road construction you folks need to know about, because that's really the only other thing to talk about at this point. And it's in Watsonville, nighttime road work, Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. Caltrans is shutting down a lane from 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. You can expect at least 15-minute delays and for pavement upgrade. Well, organ transplants save lives, but only if you help. Being an organ and tissue donor, call or visit organdonor.gov. Donate life. I'm Mike Nastrapin on KRXA 540.
Yes, the midterm elections of 2006 are rocking the nation. I'm Peter B. Collins. Glad you're listening. And we're going to open up the phones in the free speech zone in just a few minutes. Your comments are welcome from any direction on any aspect of yesterday's election. And if you want to call sooner, Warren Stewart is with us for one more segment here. He's from Vote Trust USA, and we're talking about issues related to yesterday's election and the very close contests in Montana and in Virginia. And going to the break there, I may have confused you a little bit in my verbiage, but what Warren has told us is that Montana is settled, and the margin for John Tester is sufficient to avoid a recount, and it is a potential recount situation in Virginia. Am I correct now?
That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
And have you gotten any indication whether Allen will proceed to request that recount?
No, I think it's all pretty on the DL there with the lawyers in Richmond, and I would expect that we'd hear something in the next 48 hours, but then again, I can't see why they'd want to wait until after certification. They're going to determine whether they have a realistic, possibility of changing the outcome, and, they're going to base it on their estimate.
Mm-hmm.
So, the short answer is, of course, no.
All right.
You know, there are some other races that really, need some attention here. I think in particular, the Florida 13th District, ironically, Catherine Harris's seat,
mm-hmm.
That's an election that is the reported results are extremely close. About 300 votes between Vern Buchanan, the Republican candidate, is 300 votes ahead of Christine Jennings, the Democratic candidate. And the reason that election is interesting is because there are five counties that are in the 13th District. The 13th District is this exquisitely gerrymandered district, gerrymandered on behalf of Catherine Harris. It's just below Tampa. There's this nice little cat's tail that goes through it, pulling out all of the African-American voters and putting them into Corinne Brown's district. But it cuts through a few a few counties, and one of those counties, Sarasota County, uses paperless touchscreen machines. And in that county, we have an extremely high, I haven't been able to get the exact figures, but a very high undervote rate for the congressional race. Whereas in all the other counties, which were on paper ballot optical scan systems, it's a normal, as it were, normal sort of undervote rate for the candidates. And we had lots of reports of voters having very unusual things happening to them on those touch screens.
Like flipped votes?
Flipped votes. Situation where they voted for Christine Jennings, and then when the review screen came up, either they had no vote at all or there was a vote for Buchanan. Also, on some of the machines, the calibration was such that the congressional race was at the bottom of the screen, and Buchanan's name showed up on the screen, and Jennings' name was on the next screen. So there were all kinds of things. So we're really hoping, and I know there will be a recount because it's automatically triggered under Florida law, but we're hoping that there will be, that she'll ask to have those machines impounded and get some experts in there to do an independent forensic review of those machines. Because, I think it's very important that this not be about who wins or loses, but about what exactly are these machines doing. Because the bottom line is, if you're counting votes with software, how can you be sure? There's really no way to know for sure that the votes are being counted accurately. Even if your candidate wins, it's not about who wins or loses. It's about the voters having their will reflected. That the consent of the governed is transferred accurately to those who govern.
Warren, we got a call, and the caller couldn't hold on. Lanny in Phoenix wanted to know, why does J.D. Hayworth think that he might still have won? Our count shows him down by, I think, 5,000 or 6,000 votes.
Well, I have no idea what his reasoning is, but, if it's an argument about, they do use some touch screens there for disabled voters having access. Maybe he has an argument there. I don't know anything about that race, so I'm sorry I can't speak about
it. Are there other races besides Florida 13 that you wanted to identify as very close?
Yeah, sorry about the I'll move away from this siren here.
Okay.
I apologize. Ohio 15, Debbie Price's district around Columbus there, which includes Ohio State University. It was another very close election, and a lot of students at Ohio State University were required to vote on provisional ballots because they were challenged based on the fact that they had an address at home, wherever that was, and they had an address in the dormitory, and they were challenged and were required to vote on provisional ballots. And there's some question about whether those provisional ballots will be counted or not. And so that's a race to watch as well. I think that's a very important one. We have other very close races in the suburbs of Philadelphia, Philadelphia 7th District and 8th District. That's, Mike Fitzpatrick's district, number 8. Those are also very close, and we have a whole smorgasbord of machines used in the different counties in those districts. And there were a lot of problems reported, especially on the ESNS Ivotronics and on the Sequoia edges. So those are all races where we'd like to see, I'd like to see Republican candidates challenge on the machine issue as well, because this is truly a nonpartisan issue. We really need to get to the point where everyone recognizes that this is not about what benefits one party or another party. Elections belong to voters. And they're the primary stakeholders.
Ideally,
what's important here is counting the votes accurately.
Ideally, Warren, I agree with you. I guess the problem is that the Democrats appear to have been on the losing end of election problems in the past three cycles. So some of us are having a little hard time getting beyond a partisan victimization.
We need to seize this opportunity where, we can talk about election integrity without it sounding like we're just sore losers.
Yeah.
I think that's very important. It's a very important opportunity here. And I'm very pleased that, already announced we're going to have, election integrity bills introduced in the Senate. Senator Feinstein is talking about that. That bill's still being drafted. We got Rush Holt's bill is, we're going to have that going on. There's a lot of voting rights bills. Senator Obama has a bill to prohibit these sort of intimidation tactics and misleading, these robocalls. This is terrific.
Yeah.
You know, there really needs to be strong enforcement put in place so that is simply not a part of our election process, because that's just not fair.
You're right. Warren, great to talk with you. Thanks for your work, and thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure.
Warren Stewart, Vote Trust USA on the web, votetrustusa.org. Up next, we open up the phones to talk with you, 888-5-PETER-B. You want to talk about that thumping the Republicans got yesterday? Bring it on. 888-573-8372. All callers next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm glad you're listening.
Monta Vista Wine and Spirits in Monterey is family-owned for more than 40 years. That's why when you walk in, you're treated so well. They know what they're doing. Excellent service and great product. They have the best in high-end liquor and an excellent selection of the finest wines. It's the real deal. At Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, you can call ahead and your order will be waiting for you. They treat you like family. Open every day 9 to 9 at 19 Soledad Drive in Monta Vista Village. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits ask you to please drink responsibly.
Join me, Deborah Lindsay, each Sunday afternoon at 2 for Tomorrow Matters. We'll be matching the global problems of today with the local solutions for a better tomorrow. I'll bring in the guests, and you call with the questions and ideas, and collectively we'll set the standards for a more sustainable future, because for all of us, tomorrow matters. Join me right here on KRXA 540 AM for Tomorrow Matters each Sunday at 2.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. President Bush says it was in the works before the election, but he waited till today to make the announcement. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is stepping down.
Don Rumsfeld has been a superb leader during a time of change. Yet he also appreciates the value of bringing in a fresh perspective during a critical period in this war.
That fresh perspective will come from Robert Gates, a man with a national security background and close ties to the first President Bush. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive takes a look.
Business experience, former head of the CIA, now president of Texas A&M University. Robert Gates has an impressive resume, says Robert Parry, author of books on both Presidents Bush.
So he has a lot of experience, he has a lot of intelligence, but he also comes with baggage.
In the 1980s, for instance, Gates was questioned by Congress about arms deals with Iran to help guerrilla fighters in Nicaragua. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
Gates currently serves on the Iraq Commission, led by former Secretary of State James Baker and former Democratic Congressman Lee Hamilton. CBS News White House correspondent Jim Axelrod reports some in the president's own party wonder why he waited so long.
A top Republican pollster who works with the White House says the president's timing on Rumsfeld is shocking. The pollster says if this had been done last month or even last week, the Republicans could have kept between 10 and 15 additional House seats.
As it is, the Democrats picked up enough House seats to gain the majority and make Nancy Pelosi Speaker.
This election was about the future, not about the Republicans. And so we will go forward with an agenda on issues that are relevant to the lives of the American people, addressing their priorities.
What kind of speaker will she be?
I think that her approach tends to be thoughtful, decisive, and grounded. And I think that it will play out in a very stable style of leadership.
Victoria Budson heads the Women and Public Policy Program at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. Control of the Senate hangs on the still undecided race in Virginia, where Democrat Jim Webb leads Republican incumbent George Allen by about 7,000 votes. This could be a breakthrough in sight restoration. CBS News reporter Vicky Barker in London says British and American researchers have had major success working with photoreceptor cells.
The loss of light-sensitive photoreceptor cells is the leading cause of blindness in the elderly and causes other eye disorders as well. For the first time, scientists have succeeded in transplanting the cells into blind mice and restoring their sight. A treatment for humans could come within a decade.
The FBI is out with a warning about two new internet scams. In one, you get a hoax email claiming you've made a purchase through an online service provider. If you select a link to dispute the charges, you're asked to give account information. Another email has an attachment purporting to be a summary of your order. Opening the attachment unleashes a virus that infects your computer. The Dow, 19 points higher today, closing at 12,176. This is CBS News.
I can save you $300 on your electric bill. Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound hotel vacuum is so efficient that over its anticipated life, you can save about $300 on your electric bill compared to all those heavy vacs. $300 savings make Orrick one of the best buys in America. I'll send you one to use free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200. Your carpets will look like new, and your electric meter will barely budge.
If there were a store on your main street called Peace of Mind, would you pay it a visit? On main streets all across America, there is such a place. New York Life. We have been offering customers peace of mind for over 160 years. Peace of mind comes from our agents who adhere to the values of financial strength, integrity, and humanity. So look for us in your town. Peace of mind is why New York Life is the company you keep.
Heavy rain swelled streams and flooded roads in the Northeast today, but it's nothing like the high water in the Pacific Northwest. Heather Bosch of station KIRO reports on the situation in Snohomish, Washington.
As the Snohomish River surges, people in the town of Snohomish shake their heads.
I've seen a lot of homes flooded, picked up off their foundations and moved.
You know, it's all flooded right there. You can actually see cars underwater.
It's kind of scary. Just in this small town, more than 24 people evacuated. Some businesses damaged, too.
The mill's probably the most damaged so far, I'm sure.
A couple hundred lumber mill workers are off the job today, and with roads covered in floodwater, many who work out of town are out of luck. Heather Bosch for CBS News, Snohomish, Washington.
The weather's blamed for at least 3 deaths. A dog that survived Hurricane Katrina is back with his original owner in New Orleans after a custody fight that went to court. Sheila Combs dropped her lawsuit when the Philadelphia couple who'd adopted Rocket and renamed him Rusty agreed to give him back. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Ever been inside a gas pump? Yeah, it's my first time, too. With the new Discover Business Card, this could be a profit center for your business. You get cash back bonus on your business purchases, even more on gas. So, you're not just pumping gas, you're pumping rewards. That's more MPG. Money per gallon?
It's time to take control with the new Discover Business Card. Visit discoverbiz.com/control or call 1-888-221-4BIZ to learn more.
Will you be watching when LeBron shows us he's wearing his own number? When 8 and 24 add up to 100? Will you be watching when the Suns don't stop at 150? When Chris Paul breaks the ankles of convention? When Shaq reminds us fingers are for rings? Will you be watching when purple and gold become red and blue in L.A.?
Will you be watching when? The NBA on ESPN. Suns versus Spurs, followed by Pistons versus Kings. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ESPN.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm your humble host, Peter B. I'm welcoming your calls this hour. It's the Free Speech Zone on the day after the midterm 2006 elections. You got a winner? You got a loser you want to talk about? You got a ballot measure that ended up in your favor or not? Give us a call. Let's talk about it. 888-5-PETER-B is my toll-free number. That's 888-573-8372. 1-888-5-PETER-B. Also, Arizona, tell me who won the $1 million. Or tell me if the $1 million prize thing passed. I guess it won't be effective this election because they've got to raise the money and they've got to put the law into effect. But I would like to find out if that one went through. And we got a little party music to help us get in the mood here.
The party's going on right here. It's a celebration to last throughout the years. So bring your good times and your laughter too. We gon' celebrate and party with you. Come on now.
And of course, I went to bed a happy guy, because I knew that the Democrats had won control of the House and were contending for the Senate. But we had a lot of unresolved races here in California when I went to sleep. I was pleased that Deborah Bowen will be our next Secretary of State. She's the Democrat who gets the problems with our machines and voting protocols. And I was also pleased to see that John Garamendi pulled out a victory in the lieutenant governor's race here in California. And the California voters properly decided that it's time for Cruz Bustamante to retire. He spent 8 years sleeping in the lieutenant governor's office and soiled himself when he ran for governor in the recall a few years back because he took a lot of illegal campaign contributions from Indian casinos. So many people suspect that when he's forced into retirement in January, Cruz Bustamante will get a job as a greeter at an Indian casino. We'll see if that actually transpires. We can say goodbye to Rick Santorum, one of the true extreme radical Republicans, senator from Pennsylvania. He gone. Conrad Burns, he hasn't admitted it yet, but John Tester will be the next senator from Montana. J.D. Hayworth. Ah, let me say that again. J.D. Hayworth of Arizona. He lost his race. He's headed into retirement. Richard Pombo. Now, I have to confess I have a personal interest in that outcome because I supported Pete McCloskey, my old friend, a Republican congressman who came out of retirement to challenge Pombo. He carpetbagged into the district and made a good showing in the primary, got 36-37% of the Republican vote against Pombo. But I believe it was Pete McCloskey who softened up the support of that incumbent, dangerous Richard Pombo, and helped pave the way for Jerry McNerney's victory last night. About a 5-point spread there, and congratulations to Jerry McNerney. He lost to Pombo 2 years ago, came back and faced a challenger who was supported by the leadership of the Democratic Party. He dispatched him in the primary and then went on to defeat Richard Pombo yesterday. Good on you, Jerry McNerney. Don Sherwood, the guy who said, I cheated on my wife, but I didn't beat up my mistress. He was defeated in Pennsylvania, not a surprise. John Sweeney, with some similar personal problems, lost in New York. Charles Taylor in North Carolina. And Abu, who, I'm just trying to remember the actual phrase, Michelle Malkin is a right-wing nut who gets frequently invited on TV when Ann Coulter's not available. And she talked about the detainees at Guantanamo and their rights. She doesn't care a whit about them, and she said, boo frickin' who? So let me apply that one to Kurt Weldon. Boo frickin' who? That felt good in a very juvenile way. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, and we go to your calls right now. Rolando in Phoenix, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hey, God bless America, huh?
Yeah.
How about that election?
I am so relieved and pleased all at the same time.
Me too. I am a I'm a liberal, and I'm proud to call myself that. I will say that I'm somewhat on the moderate side, but all in all, I'm a liberal, and I got no problem with that. And I'm here in Arizona, which is typically, you know, a red state and Bush-loving, J.D. Hayworth-loving, you know, community. The beauty about the J.D. Hayworth deal is, well, first off, he's such a blowhard, and he always, he just looks like Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah.
The, you know, and I'm sure that everybody knows who that is, but there's a little twist that I don't know if it's made any national news or not. Harry Mitchell, apparently, you know, I watched last night, he gave a like a victory speech.
And he's the former mayor of Tempe, right?
That's correct. And he's like a legend in Tempe. He was there are several people that are much older than I am who actually had Mr. Mitchell as a government teacher in Tempe. He was a teacher. They even have a statue of Harry Mitchell in Tempe. Last night, J.D. Hayworth did not come out and speak to his supporters at the end of the night. Even the guy in Virginia, Allen, he came out at about, it was like 11:30 our time here in Phoenix, so I'm guessing that's 1:30 on the East Coast.
You're right.
And came out and thanked all of his supporters, and he said, you know, it's not over yet. There's, you know, there may be a recount, but, you know, I appreciate, you know, your support, and then he left. And I was expecting J.D. Hayworth to do the same thing.
Now, why would you expect gentlemanly behavior from J.D. Hayworth?
Well, because, you know, he did have a lot of the foot soldiers, you know, on the road and, you know, out going and knocking on doors and leaving flyers. And, and you know, those people did do a lot of hard work for him. So I just thought I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. I was expecting him, you know, to come out with his family and to smile and to put forth a positive image. And instead, he goes the other route.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't, he went to one TV station out here local on Channel 3 and said the race isn't over and was kind of brief, and then he left. And then today on local radio, he made he presented at the station and basically explained what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Now, does he claim that the race is not over? Because Lanny called from Phoenix last hour and asked, why does J.D. Hayworth think that he may still have won?
Well, here's why. Because there were, the first number that I heard was there was about 100,000 votes. They are provisional ballots, write-in ballots, and ballots that people had received in the mail that they had completed and dropped off at their polling place on the morning of, yesterday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, from what Mr. Hayworth said on the radio this morning, at the county recorder's office, there's a room with a stack of boxes that are 6 feet high and 100 feet long of uncounted votes.
All from his district or from the whole county?
From the entire county.
Yeah.
Now, he doesn't just handle Maricopa County. He also, if I'm not mistaken, has, like, his constituency is in, like, Flagstaff and Sedona. And Sedona is definitely outside of Maricopa County. But
okay.
Either way, his hope is that he'll have enough votes, of the write-in votes and whatnot that are going to push him over the top.
Okay.
So that's why he hasn't conceded yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, he's taking the advice that we've given a lot of liberal and Democratic candidates, which is don't concede until every vote is counted, and that's fair enough. I don't have any requirement that people end the election prematurely.
And I totally agree, but I used to like J.D. Hayworth. He was a sports commentator out here, and I know that sounds real stupid.
No, I understand that. I know his past.
He was a very appealing an energetic guy, and mm-hmm. I was actually, glad for him when he initially said that he was going to leave TV and go into office.
Right.
But
well, Ed Schultz was a sportscaster too, and we don't hold that against him.
Exactly.
All right, Rolando, I got to run to a break here. Thanks a lot for calling.
It.
Great to have you listening in Phoenix. 888-5 Peter B. If you'd like to join us in the free speech zone, coming up next, I'll talk about some of my disappointments. Some key ballot measures that we supported here in California got meager support from voters yesterday. We'll talk about that and take more of your calls at 888-5-PETER-B here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Polacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820.
For whatever legal advice you need, Go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Come on in, and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a killer affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a baba ghanoush, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey. PG.
Got a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's take a look at the very latest traffic. So far, your commute looks pretty good for this evening. We're going to give you some slow traffic, but I can tell you no stalls or accidents to report at this point. Slow traffic northbound 101 and southbound 101. Heavy in and out of Salinas. Northbound also a little bit slow at the San Miguel Canyon turnoff. Going to mention that southbound 17 from 85 to Lexington Reservoir. Reports of some slow traffic, but looking pretty good over the summit for the most part. Southbound 1 slows between Monterey and Carmel. Eastbound 25, a little bit slow traffic, but it picks up pretty nicely from eastbound 25 slows out of Gilroy into Hollister. And this support is brought to you by the Toyota Camry Hybrid. The Camry Hybrid gets an EPA estimated 40 miles per gallon in the city, so now you can drive while producing fewer emissions. Toyota Camry Hybrid, it's a whole new breed of Camry. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. Lines are open for you in the free speech zone. Tell me your winners and losers from yesterday's election. And if you had any problems voting, I'd like to hear about it. 888-5-PETER-B. That's 1-888-5-PETER-B. Or if you prefer it all numerically, 1-888-573-8372. And as I mentioned, it was a mixed bag here in California yesterday. It was a foregone conclusion that Arnold Schwarzenegger would dispatch Phil Angelides, and the pre-election polls were stunningly accurate in measuring the appeal of a Hollywood movie star. And so that one didn't come as a surprise. As I mentioned, I was pleased that John Garamendi beat Tom McClintock to become the next lieutenant governor, and he is poised to run for governor in 4 years when Arnold will be termed out. And it's expected that Schwarzenegger will challenge Barbara Boxer for her Senate seat, which will also be up for election in 2010. Moving down the ballot, Cruz Bustamante sent into retirement not a moment too soon. And that was one of the few Republicans who I supported in this campaign. Steve Poizner defeated him. And John Chang won as state controller. And in two, uncompetitive races, Bill Lockyer won a move from attorney general to treasurer. And Jerry Brown, up until now the mayor of Oakland and former governor of California, decided he is going to never retire. And he was elected attorney general. Now, on the ballot measures, I find it interesting that voters approved about $40 billion worth of bonds for highways, housing, school, and disaster and flood relief. And then they turned down a $50 per parcel tax that would have gone to pay for schools, school buildings, and capital expenses.
And that's one of the big weaknesses in California. There's funding for teachers, for curricula, for the administrators, but there's often very little money in the districts for the buildings that have been deteriorating. So that was a kind of a cheapo move by California voters. They intelligently rejected the parental notification for minors seeking an abortion, and they unintelligently embraced the Jessica's Law, which is a sex offender bill that forces every sex offender to wear an electronic anklet. And it, in my view, is misguided legislation. 70% of the voters embrace that. And they showed poor judgment in defeating the campaign of the Clean Money Act, Proposition 89, and also in turning down a tax on oil pumped from California. That was Prop 87. Only 45% of the public supported that. Steve Bing, a Hollywood millionaire, spent about $45 million of his fortune to try to pass that that initiative. And Big Oil spent over $100 million and succeeded in defeating it. Will somebody please explain to me why California voters, by a percentage of 54%, said, oh, no, I don't want to tax the oil companies. I don't get it. They're getting record profits. We paid $3 at the pump earlier this year, and in some parts of California, you're still doing that. And 54% said, no, leave those poor little oil companies alone? I don't get it. Randall in Tempe, you're next. Thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Well, I say, look at me when I'm talking to you, boy. I say the election is not over.
All right, I'm looking at you.
that's Foghorn Leghorn, J.D. Hogwash. Those are his words. Now, actually, I put an essay up on aznetroots.com. It's a local blog here about no concessions. We don't want our party to concede. Karen Osborne, our local Maricopa County Director of Elections, has told us that the election is not official till after Thanksgiving when the final canvass is certified. And no one should concede, but if you're ahead, you should do like we've done with Harry Mitchell, is declare victory and call everybody who objects a conspiracy theorist and a sore loser.
Isn't it nice that that tactic is actually available to a Democrat?
Boy, that shoe fits the left foot as well as the right, I'll tell you. But I want to tell you about the post-election hand count audit, and I want to use your bullhorn here to make an announcement to Maricopa County.
All right, here comes an announcement from Randall.
Hear ye. This morning, we were meeting at the Sheriff's Training Academy to start the hand count audit with a little training class. And the way the legislation reads is we have to have enough counters to do 2% of the precincts. And if we didn't have 144 counters present by 2 o'clock this afternoon, it gets called off. So we put an announcement on the local Air America Phoenix station,
mm-hmm.
The station you're listening to now.
Right.
And we said, please come out and help us with this hand count. You know, we need some more bodies out here. We were about 20 short, I think, and we got the bodies. And so we got enough, and the session today started. And then tomorrow the actual count will start. And we absolutely have to be there by 9 a.m. I think we have enough people to do it. Everybody that was there today swore they would be back tomorrow. But if anybody's in the area of 35th Avenue and Lower Buckeye, look for the Sheriff's Training Academy there at just before 9 o'clock, and just come by and see if you're needed, if you're
now,
there on
now,
standby.
Does Sheriff Joe actually run a training academy there?
Sheriff Joe Carpiehole is the local Fuhrer. There's nothing really good to say about him except he does love animals. He's really a be kind to animals kind of guy, and I appreciate that. But he's got a massive sheriff industrial complex out there, and the academy is where all the new guys go to boot camp and learn how to be sheriffs.
I see. And so you're just borrowing those facilities for this training?
Right. Yeah, the county elections department is using the facilities. It's a really nice place. It's and we have these rooms, and we're going to have tables with three-person election boards at each table, 48 tables, I guess, in each room. And one room is going to do the precinct counted ballots, and they're going to hand count 2% of the precincts.
Okay.
And then the second room is going to have the mail-in ballots, and they're going to hand count 1% of the vote-by-mail ballots. And the third room is going to count the printer modules from the Edge touchscreen machines. and check the count on the edges.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brad and others were putting out an alert about the yellow button on the edge touchscreen.
Right, on the back.
Right, and I wanted to, I'm having buttons made, campaign buttons that are yellow that say, hack me, I'm a Sequoia. But,
don't push my vote and my button or I'll vote 100 times.
That's right, don't push my button. But, it's funny, they put that on the outside of the machine and it's big and yellow in case you miss it. But anyway, the thing about the edge in Maricopa County is there's one in every polling place for the HAVA Act, for the ADA disabled community
right.
to vote on.
Mm-hmm.
And only one or two votes in each polling place are actually cast on that machine. Everybody votes paper ballots, and they go through the Sequoia Insight scanner. You know, now that's the whole set of problems on its own. But if you're worried about the edge touchscreen, it's only in Arizona, it's only used in Maricopa County, and then only a couple votes per precinct, or I think in the primary we had less than 100 or maybe less than 200 votes.
All right, Randall, I got to run to a break here. You want to give out any information for the meeting tomorrow?
I think we have enough, but if you're around 35th Avenue in Lower Buckeye before 9 a.m., just swing by and see if you're needed.
All right. Thank you, Randall.
Thanks, Peter B.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Lines are open for you at 888-5-PETER-B. It's the Free Speech Zone, 888-573-8372. And I still want to know if that $1 million reward passed on the ballot in Arizona. Give me a call. Let me know. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
I'm Pam.
And I'm Nancy.
And we're from the Potting Shed.
In Aptos. We're located at 5752 Freedom Boulevard.
About 2 miles east of Highway 1 heading towards Watsonville. You have to look for us. We're in an old barn, but if you look for our mailbox, it's painted bright yellow and it's shaped like an old barn, so it makes it a little bit easier to find.
The barn has a lot of charm. People tend to come there just because the atmosphere is really nice.
And they'll come and have a cup of tea, bring their dog if they have one. All the dogs who visit know exactly where the cookie jar is. So it's that kind of a place. People feel very comfortable.
When we started, we were just strictly a garden shop with pots and plants, but we had to evolve through the years because nobody needed pots and plants in the middle of winter. So we started adding things, and now it's a full-fledged gift shop.
We work very hard to try and find things that are unusual and eclectic and well-priced. That's what our customers want. We're open from 10 to 5, Wednesday through Sunday. Come by, have a cup of tea. The Potting Shed.
Attention all KRXA listeners. Are you worried about not having enough money for a truly comfortable retirement? Were you aware that you've had the ability to buy real estate within your individual retirement account without government penalty since 1974? Bet you didn't know that. Only 2% of the U.S. population is even aware of the law. If your IRA had been invested in California real estate 20 years ago, you'd be a multimillionaire today. The retirement specialist will show you how to purchase California property right inside your IRA. They've helped nearly 10,000 people in the last four decades achieve their retirement goals by rolling over their IRAs and 401ks into profitable California real estate. Give them a call at 831-794-8485 to learn more about this underutilized retirement investment. That's 831-794-8485. If you want to achieve financial independence by the time you retire, then call now. There's nothing to lose, only valuable knowledge to gain. Call 831-794-8485 and ask for the retirement specialist.
Tired of stale syndicated right-wing blowhards?
And we are thrilled and honored to have with us Donald Rumsfeld.
You got a bunch of dopey kids watching these shows. Oh, O'Reilly!
Here on KRXA 540, you can hear a fresh local liberal blowhard.
And another thing, Coach, you could strip me naked, stake me to an anthill, pour honey all over me, and I still wouldn't vote for a Republican.
Hal on the show every morning from 9 to 10, only on KRXA 540. Down in
God listens to Billy Sunshine. Maybe you should, too. Sundays, 3 to 5, on KRXA, 540 AM, The Billy Sunshine Show with Pilar. Coming soon.
You see, we're on a mission from God.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Thank God it's Friday!
Oh, sorry, it's only Wednesday.
The story is true. Dragnet. Dragnet.
You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? You got a lot of repressed feelings, don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday? Don't you, Friday?
On Election Day yesterday in Reading, Pennsylvania, 95-year-old Anna Urban couldn't get a ride to the polls. But she's a dedicated citizen and a perfect voter. So she dialed 911. And they forwarded the call over to the county elections office. And the election services director got in her car and went and picked the old lady up and took her to vote. We're taking your calls in the free speech zone. Tell me about your winners and losers in yesterday's elections. And I welcome your call at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Ken in Rochester joins us. Rochester, New York, or Rochester, Michigan, or Rochester, Minnesota?
Don't confuse me, Peter B. It's Rochester, New York.
Okay, good.
Hey, I found your show last week when I was up just by accident checking on where Malloy was. And
yeah,
I heard you playing Wild One by Thin Lizzy as musical bump, and I was like, this guy is cool. Anything from the Johnny the Fox album, that's got to be good.
Oh, good for you. I love Thin Lizzy. They were a great
group.
Band.
They still mourn Phil Wynott's death.
Yeah.
He was a great guy.
Yeah, he was.
I was calling in, Peter, about, last night, today, great stretch of time, but I just hope people remember that really a lot of this generated out of the stand of the Black Caucus in 2004. They held the line, and what they did was really, they helped a lot of people sort of stem the tide. I mean, when they crashed in Ohio, a lot of people looked like they were ready to kowtow to Bush, but you know what? They stood tough, and Jesse Jackson deserves some recognition for what he did. When Kerry rolled over, he was in Ohio in people's faces, and he was doing what he needed to do.
There are a couple other people I'll add to the list. David Cobb, who was the Green Party presidential candidate and who lives in the range of one of our radio stations. He lives in Humboldt County, I think in Arcata. And he really was a stalwart. Bob Petraeus and Harvey Wasserman fought very hard. And Stephanie Tubbs Jones, congresswoman from the Cleveland area, was really a fighter on that.
Yep, and
we
Waters got in there, too.
Well, and we can't forget Senator Barbara Boxer, because she was the lone senator who stood up for the challenge. It was only a procedural move. It pissed off a lot of the Republicans, but I will, forever be grateful to Barbara Boxer for sustaining the challenge that was brought by the Ohio delegation.
Yeah, that was really, for me, just as, like, peripherally listening to this, having to go through the disappointment of some of these past election cycles, that, to me, was like, hey, at least we got some element of Congress that doesn't look like they're just going to get swept away here, so even though that might not be as pronounced or people might not remember that now, I just hope that, people by and large are aware of the contribution that they made, because that was key, and they held firm. They drew a line in the sand when other people were willing to just, bail. So
yeah, and in fact, in early January of 2005, I happened to be in Detroit, and I drove to Columbus so I could be there for a public event, a rally, that Jesse Jackson, Stephanie Tubbs Jones, and the folks in Columbus held. And it was really powerful to see people who were not willing to be silenced, not willing to accept the stolen election. It wasn't a matter of whining losers. It was a matter of people recognizing that their rights had been violated.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Ken, thanks for the call. Great to have you listening in Rochester. And can I make you vice president of marketing there?
Hey, you got it, man. I dig your show. It's really good. As long as I get to play as many Thin Lizzy bumps as you guys can handle, I'm in.
Well, stay tuned. I'll play one for you before the end of the show.
Oh, man, that's fantastic. You rule, dude.
Okay. Stephen Scottsdale, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Yes, new listener, because Air America went off the air a few, five, 6 months ago, and it took me a while to find out if they were back on again.
Well, Air America's back in Phoenix, and I'm very delighted to be live on KPHX every day from 4 to 7 local time.
Well, two things. One, you mentioned the, which one was it? The prize money, that got defeated. I was a little mixed about it. I thought, you know, something to incentive people because, you know, people who don't have money usually Democrats.
Yeah.
So they might get a chance to win, but everybody decided, no, it's your civic duty, and no, you shouldn't be paid to perform your civic duty, which is fair and valid.
And what was the count?
I think it was like 54 to 40-something.
Uh-huh.
I think they lost. It didn't lose big, but it was, you know, significant.
Okay.
With the big winners here, which is something it's, you know, the Republican agenda, is anything that had to do with illegal immigration won. So everybody is paranoid about illegal immigrants in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And, what was it? The funny coincidence is the English only proposition won, and it's kind of funny because the station here sometimes gets some interference from a Hispanic station, so sometimes I hear you and sometimes I hear some mariachi music playing at the same time. That was rather ironic.
I guess so. Now, what about the would call them vigilantes, but there were some right-wing, immigration activists who were at polling places taking photographs of Hispanic voters, and they were packing heat.
That I didn't hear about, anything like that. And, oh, like I said, I voted in Scottsdale, so, or sometimes they call it Snobsdale.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't see anything of to that nature, and I didn't hear anything on the news when I called the local, checked the local news stations for the results.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't surprise me, and it's someone brought up the point that most illegal immigrants want to stay away from official type functions where they might be picked up.
Right.
So it makes no sense that you'd have illegal immigrants trying to vote.
Well, it also makes no sense that Arizona has a photo ID requirement that was driven by an alleged threat that illegals would try to vote.
Mm-hmm.
So I hope to see that overturned.
So I don't particularly agree with it that, you know, illegal immigrants are illegal, but I don't think they're the Al-Qaeda of Arizona. So they treat them like they are, like anything that's illegal is supposed to be a terrorist.
Yeah. All right. Well, Steve, thank you for checking in today.
All right. No problem.
Good to have you listening, and even if there's a little mariachi music in the background. I'm Peter B. Collins. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. If you want to grab a line, 888-5-PETER-B. If I can get my computer to obey a command here, I want to play a little clip for you about Donald Rumsfeld, and it's from the premier investigative news program available in America today. That would be The Daily Show. And I'm clicking. I'm clicking. Let's see if my computer will support my effort here. This is about Donald Rumsfeld, and it is the clip of Ray McGovern, my friend who used to work at the CIA and is now a critic of Rumsfeld and the Bush administration. And he was described as a heckler when he stood in the audience at an event where Rumsfeld was speaking in Atlanta earlier this year and peppered him with questions. And I'm clicking, Matt. This computer needs to be rebooted. It's just not responding. So I'll see if I can do that during the next break and bring you that clip.
Central Intelligence Agency.
Here it goes. But it's clipping. Let's see. I'm going to give it one more chance here. The high-tech problems that we sometimes encounter.
Why did you lie to get us into a war that was not necessary and that has...
Oh, gosh. All right, we're going to have to regroup, reboot, and see if we can make that work. Back to your calls we go. And Hilda from Aromas, thanks for calling the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, Peter. I just wanted to call because the most exciting defeat for me was the Pombo defeat.
Oh, yeah.
It was exciting because I saw this group called Santa Cruz for Change doing so much and organizing. I think so much credit should go out to them because they were out there canvassing on weekends and calls. I worked with MoveOn.org, so I wasn't out there. I just think, I couldn't believe it. I woke up and I cried. My girls and I did a dance. And it meant so much, and I just think it gives me hope that people can make a difference because that was big.
Well, and what's big about it, your point is well taken, is that it took Republican voters to bring Richard Pombo down. And this is a very important sea change, that Republicans are now putting the interests of the nation above the interests of their party. And we haven't seen that since the Bush juggernaut took hold.
I don't know if I see that. I see, you know, people talking about how America's finally woken up. But it's only a little over 50% of the people that have woken up. I mean, that's not very much. It seems like it's just teetering there. There's so many people that, like you said, look at the propositions in California.
Yeah,
what are they thinking?
Why won't people cause the oil companies to pay a fair tax on the oil they extract from California soil? I don't get that.
I don't get it. Oh, when I was phone banking, I remember one woman told me, she said, I'm educated, I watch the ads, and she was going to be voting Republican. And I'm like, what? That's what you call educated?
Yeah.
So, this Pombo defeat definitely gave me some hope, because I'm definitely cynical, you know, going into the elections, and I'm still have a lot of the left. But
well, and the other thing that's interesting, Hilda, take a look at the when they're published in your local newspaper. Look at every district in California, the congressional races. I did. And what's fascinating is virtually all of the incumbents won by 60% or more. The one exception I saw was Jane Harman, the conservative Democrat who many of us felt would be, you know, welcome to retire. Marcy Winograd, a great progressive, challenged her in the primary this year and got about 38%. Jane Harman got below 60, but almost every other sitting member of the House got 60% or more, 80% for people like Nancy Pelosi and Duncan Hunter and Jerry Lewis, the Republican leaders. So we have a gerrymandered situation here where most incumbents are virtually guaranteed continuous reelection unless they really screw up. And for Jerry McNerney to be able to overcome the power of the incumbency, Pombo's connections, Bush came in to campaign for him and raised $500,000 in the final months of the race. They used every available means, and McNerney won anyway. So that is a signal victory. And when you put it in context with the gerrymandering, the incumbent benefits, we just owe a lot of gratitude to Jerry McNerney.
Yeah, we sure do.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Peter.
Well, thank you for checking in. More of your calls coming up in just a moment. 888-5 Peter B is my toll-free number. Tell me about your winners and losers in yesterday's campaign. That's 888-5 Peter B, and we'd love to talk with you. Oh, there goes my computer. We're definitely going to reboot this baby. You're listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
This week on Rock Rollin' Real Estate, your number one choice for wealth building and real estate investment, we'll have companies that we think are going to be very hot in 2007. If you want to learn about investing in commercial properties, new real estate funds, and other exciting real estate markets, this is the show for you. For more information on how to be a guest, call 408-892-3376. That's 408-892-3376. Or check us out on the web at rockrollinrealestate.com. Rock Rollin' Real Estate, heard right here every Sunday morning at 10.
Pacific Grove Liquors is the one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, spirits, and beers at very reasonable prices. Whether you seek the ideal California or imported wine, quality distilled spirits like top shelf tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and premium vodkas, PG Liquors is your beverage outlet. Love beer? PG Liquors boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales and lagers, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand your wine, beer, and liquor store.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
And a very pleasant good evening to you. Let's give you the very latest. Let's start off with a problem working in. How about, well, we're going to give you a little update here. I'm going to mention the fact that we do have a problem in the King City. Southbound 101 after Canal Street, just getting word of a crash. A big rig and a delivery truck involved in this accident. Fortunately, it does not appear to be injuries involved in this, but CHP on the way to the scene there. Quick advisory as far as some road work is concerned tonight. We're going to mention that we do have Watsonville nighttime road work. Will take place at 7 o'clock tonight until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. This is on Highway 1 between 129 and Freedom. And the Caltrans, again, will have each direction closed. For pavement upgrades, there'll be 15-minute delays, so expect to experience some delays there. That's traffic on KRXA.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. And I want to thank you for joining us. Lines are open at 888-5 Peter B. if you have a comment that you'd like to share with us. And on the hotline here is the next Secretary of State here in California. She is Senator Deborah Bowen from Southern California. Senator, welcome to our program and hearty congratulations.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely great to be with you today.
I bet it is. Because you've got a 4-year term and you don't have to raise any money right away. And you can actually focus on your job for a while.
I was actually thinking more basic right now, like some sleep.
Yeah. What's it been like on the home stretch of the campaign?
It's just hard to describe what it's like to run in a state as big as California. Started on election day having breakfast with Mayor Villaraigosa and the Democratic ticket in downtown L.A. and went to San Mateo and said hello to some of the GOTV volunteers there. And then I was in San Francisco last night. And by then I had lost track of where I was.
Well, that's why you always need a campaign aide to remind you where you are and who you're in front of.
Yeah.
Well, it was a little close as the night progressed, and when we last talked to you, which was about 10:30 Pacific time, it was too close to call, and it was the same when I went to sleep, and I was delighted when I got up this morning and went to the Secretary of State website to get the final tally, and it showed that you defeated Bruce McPherson by just about 5 points.
Yeah, it was a terrific result, and I couldn't be more pleased that so many people in California spoke for improvements in our election process, better transparency, and for change.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you had to do this on a limited budget. It's not easy to run for statewide office in California. A real TV campaign costs $1.5 million a week. I got one glossy 4-page mailer from you, but you had to really rely on grassroots efforts and some of the netroots who supported you because of your election integrity interest.
We ran a serious shoestring campaign. It'll be interesting when we go back to see, compared to other races. My guess is we're going to have spent less than any other recent winning statewide campaign. Not by choice. It's just very difficult within a Secretary of State race because when you look at who's interested, it's really people who care about election integrity and not so many people who have a direct economic stake in the outcome.
Yeah. Now, I received, by the way, I'm a declined estate voter, so I get mail and robocalls from just about everybody. And uh-huh. Clint Eastwood made several calls to my voicemail on behalf of your opponent. And his robocalls were not offensive, and I don't really have a problem with the way your opponent used them. But we saw wide-scale abuse of the telephone political message process, particularly with repeated calls, calls where the appropriate legally required disclosure was either fudged or not properly presented. Do you think we need legislation here in California to clean up the political robocall arena?
I think the robocall situation has really gotten out of hand. And it's worse than just the robocalls. I was in Oceanside on Saturday, and Francine Busby, who was running for Congress there, told me that someone had been making phone calls purporting to be either from her or on her behalf at 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And sometimes calling the same person back 3, 4, 5 times after they'd hung up. And, of course, then you'd have a voter who was very upset. Of course that's illegal, but it's very difficult when someone's doing that the weekend before an election to track it down and prosecute it. I do hope that the prosecutor there goes after that, because we need to make an example very quickly out of that. I understand it was happening in Kansas as well. Looks to me like it was happening more in districts where women were running.
Really? Well, we also got reports that there were a lot of calls aimed at African-American voters with some fairly racist messages. That occurred in Tennessee and in other states.
Mm. Boy, you know, you like to think, at least I like to think, that during campaigns, the best in people will come out, and that we'll have a discussion, sometimes a pointed discussion, but about issues, and that it will be a fair debate, and in the end, people will choose what they think is most important. It's very disturbing to hear these reports of dirty tricks and racist phone calls. We are better than that in this country.
We're talking with Deborah Bowen. She is the next Secretary of State in California. She'll take office in January. And let me ask you a question that you know, I haven't brought up before, but now that you are going to be the Secretary of State, it's germane. We saw in Catherine Harris in Florida, Ken Blackwell in Ohio, secretaries of state conducting elections in which they had a direct personal interest. And I just ask you, if you decide to run for governor, would you step down as Secretary of State? Or should you decide to remain as Secretary of State, would you agree not to run for governor while you're Secretary of State?
I've got no plans to run for governor. I'm going to have a lot of work on my hands to get to work on our voting systems. But I do think that there's an interesting question about conflicts of interest when someone who is a serving Secretary of State is also running for another office. And I think it's worth having a discussion about that before it happens. And I don't think it will be me, but I'm very flattered by the attention.
Okay. Now, what about those machines, Deborah Bowen? What are we going to do about this?
Well, that was really the question, wasn't it? I had little old ladies come up to me and grab my sleeve and say, you have to do something about the machines. So I will be initiating a top-to-bottom review of all of the voting systems in California. I want to open that up. We'll bring in the computer industry, the software people, the academics, Silicon Valley, cybersecurity experts, and we're going to have a hard look at what exists, not just what is theoretical, but also the practical problems that have been encountered. I'm really tired of hearing, well, that was human error. Machines are run by human beings, and if they are not simple enough to be run by poll workers who are only work every 2 years, a couple of times a year, then they need to be redesigned. It just cannot be made so complicated that you need to have a four-week class to learn how to be a poll worker.
Mm-hmm. Now, will you issue an edict? I'm not sure what your total authorities are, but can you instruct the county registrars about the chain of custody of the machines and end these sleepovers?
Well, I'm certainly going to be having conversations, again, with security experts and computer industry and the county registrars to establish some best practices and to work through some of the logistical questions that have been raised. But, you know, I've been very clear about this. If you have equipment that is vulnerable to tampering on a wholesale basis, and that's the fundamental difference between electronic voting machines and good old-fashioned paper ballot box stuffing, and you have a need to have a chain of custody, that sending equipment home a week in advance, even a couple of days in advance, just isn't sufficient. I actually had poll workers complain to me about having to take responsibility for the Diebolds and the electronic voting machines and be held responsible for their security before an election. I think it's unfair to poll workers as well.
One final question. Michael Haas in San Diego has decided that he's not going to count absentee ballots until tomorrow is when they're going to start. Could we have a uniform standard for ballot counting, in particular absentees and other ballots?
Well, I think we will be setting up regulations and standards for the handling of elections, actually under a bill that I carried that requires that starting on January 1st. So I was hoping that I would be the person who had control of implementing it. But we will have standards, and I also think we're very likely to see some movements towards standard setting at the national level. This election certainly highlighted, again, how wide the variation is from state to state, and that affects all of us during a regular midterm election, but certainly during a presidential election. We all have a stake in accuracy and integrity in every single state in this union.
Madam Secretary, thank you for joining us, and again, congratulations, Deborah Bowen.
Thank you.
All right, we'll talk again soon when you get that nice, swanky office.
All right.
Take care, Deborah.
Great, thanks.
I'm Peter B. Collins. Thanks for listening. We're going to do this again tomorrow. I hope you'll join me then. Politicians may come and go, but for the past 33 years, Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey. Technically proficient, Dr. Turner specializes in listening to every patient's concerns and feelings. And because Dr. Turner cares about you, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112, 831-375-1112, 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner, 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Join broadcast journalist Glenn Brooks and the Vibrant Living Network every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. and 11 to 12 p.m. for conversations that invoke creativity, well-being, and compassion. Named as the most knowledgeable voice in the field of holistic health and positive living, Glenn takes your calls and comments right here on KRXA AM 540.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The Democrats' midterm election victory is now complete. CBS News estimates the Democrat Jim Webb has beaten Republican incumbent George Allen in the hotly contested Virginia race, giving Democrats a total of 51 Senate seats, a majority. CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss has been following the congressional races and joins us live.
This was the last Senate race to be decided. It's the sixth takeover for the Democrats in the election, and as you say, it's going to give them 51 seats and control of the Senate. The Democrats will now be running both houses of Congress, certainly a serious blow to President Bush and the Republicans. On the other hand, a one-seat margin in the Senate is as slim as it gets, and though Democrats will now be in charge, getting anything done in the Senate that's closely divided is going to require bipartisan cooperation. But when it comes to committee chairmanships, hearings, and setting the agenda, it will all be in Democratic hands, Bill.
The Democrats gained 50 seats when the Montana Senate race was decided earlier today.
I'm Stephen Kaufman in Great Falls, Montana. For Democrat John Tester, it was a victory celebration worth waiting for. Almost immediately after being named the winner in Montana's tight U.S. Senate race against Republican Conrad Burns, Tester met with a noisy group of supporters.
We're going to have representation for this state, working with Senator Baucus, working with Governor Schweitzer, like this state hasn't seen in a long, long time. Thank you, folks, very much for coming out here today.
President Bush says he deliberately waited till after the election to say thanks and farewell to Donald Rumsfeld.
Your service has made America stronger and made America a safer nation.
The lightning rod Secretary of Defense will be replaced with former CIA Director Robert Gates. Rumsfeld's critics say it's high time, and many Americans seem to agree.
This is Steve Futterman in St. Louis.
Oh, wow.
Some people here were surprised to hear the news.
I don't really have an opinion one way or another. I'm just surprised.
But most people we spoke with said they're happy Rumsfeld's on his way out.
I think he's a nutcase. It's probably good for the president to get rid of him.
This woman said she's a supporter of President Bush, and if the president wants Rumsfeld out, that's fine with her.
Whatever the president decides, because I'm for Bush.
The president says he would have made the change regardless of the outcome of last night, but he acknowledges the Democrats did very well and says the Republicans took a thumping. The exiled political leader of Hamas says this ends the truce with Israel.